Good evening, folks. This is the February 2026 meeting of the WPFW Local Station Board. I'm Kamau Harris, chair of the Local Station Board, and our secretary, the magnificent Ellen Carter, will call the roll. Ellen, go ahead.
Okay. Irene said that she wouldn't be able to make it. She sent an email. Verna? Does anyone see Verna?
No.
Okay. Michael Byfield? Michael Byfield? I thought I heard him.
Yeah, he's present. I can see his name.
Present.
Okay. Michelle Clemens? Michelle Clemens? Bill Curtis? Violetta?
Here.
Wanda? 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 Sue?
Sue's having trouble getting on too. She was waiting the other one for 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Robert? I'm present.
Okay, thank you. Robert?
He's going to be late. I have an email from him. He'll be late.
Okay. Michael Hirsch?
I'm here. Thank you.
Julie?
She's still trying to get on, too.
Okay. Dwara?
Present.
Arthur Highland?
Good evening. I am here.
David? David?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Ambrose? I thought I heard him. Is he here?
No, negative.
Okay. Mariah?
Here.
Ron Pinchback? Ron? Do you see him?
No, not yet.
Okay. Junette?
Here.
And Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Okay, I'll go back. Did Verna come in?
Not yet.
And I texted her and have not yet heard back from her.
Okay, thank you. Michelle Clemens, has she come in?
Yes, she's somewhere here. I saw her. Okay. Michelle, could you answer up?
Michelle?
She's there. Go ahead.
Keep okay. Going. Bill Curtis?
Negative.
Wanda?
That's negative.
Ron?
Nope.
Okay. That's it.
Ambrose is here.
And Ambrose, right. He just came in,
okay.
Thank you, Mike.
Julie Hewitt's here.
And Julie's here. Awesome.
Okay. Thank you.
Michelle is here.
Dr. No. Michelle, thank you. That was Michelle. She's
okay.
Just answering.
Thank you, Michelle. Okay. So Verna, Bill Curtis, Wanda and Ron. I haven't heard anything from them.
Right. Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thank you all so much. Sorry for the delay here, a little technical difficulties. Sounds like the link on the agenda that I'm sending out is inoperable. So what I'll do, I'll go back and make sure to tighten that up so that folks have a kind of seamless path to get to the meeting. So I do apologize for that. It sounds like it's taking us to an old meeting, which is not going to work.
Can I just tell you something else quickly? They can also go on Pacifica, the KPF TX, and get it if there's ever a problem.
Yeah, no, that's correct, yeah. You know, just giving it everyone, I think most folks know that. Obviously, WPFW, that our local website here has a link. KPFTX.org has a link. And then, of course, hopefully this agenda will now be correct. So you have different places where you can get to it and not be held up. So thank you for that. All right, the approval. You all have the agenda. One of the things on the agenda that Member Byfield wanted to add in terms of a moment of silence and reflections included with Mike Nasella. We also lost a very, very dear partner, giant local activist here in the D.C. area, Reverend Graylin Hagler. He also passed. So we're going to have some moment of silence and reflections. Anybody opposed to adding Reverend Hagler as part of our moment of reflection? All right, hearing none, we'll add that. Any other adds or subtracts from the agenda as presented? Mm-hmm. All right, hearing none, our agenda is approved. You all had the minutes from our January meeting. Secretary Carter was sent. I had sent those to you. Do we have any objection to the minutes as issued? All right, hearing none, we'll have those minutes approved. And in the archives, I see one hand before we have our reflection. Miyuki, go ahead.
I just want to let you know Ron Pinchback is also in the, waiting in the other erroneous one. I try to give him the correct stuff, so he's on his way as well.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we're good. Yeah, so we now have quorum as well, so we're good to go on that. All right, I want to go ahead and have our moment of silence, and if anybody would like to, after the moment of silence, very quickly give a reflection on either our board op, Mike Nasella, Magic Mike, or Reverend Hagler, you can do so. But let's go ahead and give our moment of silence at this time. All right. Thank you all so much. Any hands? Anybody would like to give a quick reflection before we get into our reporting? Member Lane, you are recognized. Go ahead, sir.
Well, it's a sad day. Mike Nasella came to WPFW because he was listening to my hip-hop show back in 1993. And he then volunteered and ended up becoming the master board operator. I call it the master board operator for WPFW. And back in 1993, he actually gave me, for my birthday, a homemade bong. That's right, I did say a homemade bong. That's how much Mike loved the show and loved what I was trying to do. And I'm just so happy to, and it really reflects how programmers and WPFW have such an impact on people's lives. And how a programmer can really set the tone, not only for the community, but to inspire people to continue to support progressive thought and music of all kinds. Mike always credits me. When I was able to walk and I was able to go come to the station, and I see Mike, he'd always remind me, you know, you're the one that brought me here. You know, almost making me feel guilty. But Mike was a great person. And Graylin Hagler, I actually served as his campaign manager when he ran for the at-large council seat. And Graylin was incredible. And it's too bad that he did not win, but he was incredible. So these two men, in a very unconventional way, came in and out my life like a shooting star. You know, I remember, at least with Mike, I remember his son, who's now grown, but at that time, he had either just been born or was a very small baby. And I remember Mike talking about him. And every time I see Mike, you know, we had children that are about the same age. We both have boys that are about the same age. So
we got a couple hands.
I'm sorry for going on so long, but
I appreciate that. Yep.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks. Mo Thomas and then Latrice Vincent in that order.
Good evening, everyone. I just want to say again how much of a blessing to us Mike was. And I don't really care whether I'm repeating what others have said. Mike was what I call the producer of last resort. So if there was a defect in the show, a missing element, a late guest, or whatever it took, Mike was there and ready to respond. He would always, in my view, always make the correct choice and kept the air going. Moreover, I think Mike was responsible for the sound of the station, the professional quality of the station, its continuity from one show to the next. And in keeping with that, he trained other board operators to do as well. So he was the example. He was the standard bearer for the brand, if you will, WPFW. And he will be obviously sorely missed. God bless. Reverend Hagler, I only had a few minutes to be, maybe a half an hour, to be in the presence of Reverend Hagler. And I will tell you that there are very, very few people that you will encounter in life that you would call truly wise. Beyond his experience, beyond his education, he had the blessing of wisdom. Very, very, very few, I would say very few people, maybe one other in my life that I ever met. And it was really a joy and a blessing to hear him speak on a variety of subjects, not the least of which was the gospel of the unheard and the oppressed. He just vocalized it perfectly. Thank you.
Thank you. Latrice.
Good afternoon, everyone. As a longtime WPFW listener and a programmer for a short period of time, about 2 years with the station, I have to piggyback Maurice just mentioned about Mike and his remarks on Mike. I did not have the opportunity to meet Mike in person, but the sound of the station that Maurice spoke to and the continuity, they're very spot on with those. And I really do appreciate all of his work over the many years with the station and both, again, as a listener and a programmer, that was great, great work, expert as far as I'm concerned. And Reverend Hagler, I did have an opportunity to work with him on a campaign a few years ago, and again, just an exceptional person, really supportive of the community in so many ways, and both will be extremely missed.
Thank you, Latrice. Member Tingling Clemens, Member McLean, Member Pinchback, in that order. You have the floor. Michelle. Let's, if we could hold our thoughts to a minute, that'd be great. Michelle, where'd you go?
All right. Sorry. No, I'm here.
Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry. All right. One comment I wanted to make about Mike, and I wasn't by the time I left as a host, Mike hadn't yet come to the station. But Mike was somebody who had the capacity to make me as a listener feel like a part of the station. You know, he had a good ear, as everybody knows, and so he would recognize me when I called in sometimes, a lot of times I wouldn't say who it was, and he would say, "Is this Michelle?" And it was, you know, it was a reminder that I was part of the station, not as an LSB member, but as simply as a listener. And that was fantastic. That was a fantastic skill that he had. Great if he could find ways to have passed that on. Graylin Hagler, I first met as a member, as a participant in welfare rights work. When you speak about him being part of, you know, raising the voice of the unheard, well, I met him as working with a group of poor women. And that's a huge unheard group, and fighting for their rights. So, and I remember when I called him to ask him if he would host our 4080 celebration. We were celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary and Rick's 80th birthday. He said, "Well, you know, I really can't speak well." And I said, "If we got you a microphone, would that work?" And he was like, "Oh, yeah, with a microphone, I could do it." And he came and he did it, and, you know, but that was Graylin. If he could do it, he would, if he wanted to. And I appreciate him wanting to do that and to share that with us. So I think we've all, those of, if you've known him, we've got lots of stories, but we don't have that kind of time. So.
Right. Thank you, Michelle. Member McLean, Member Pinchback, in that order.
I didn't know either one of them. I did get to meet Reverend Hagler briefly, but what I did want to say was, you know, I think seeing people in that position, or, you know, spending their time just giving back, or giving their time being radical. I remember specifically when I was in Hampton, at Hampton University, I used to challenge every speaker that they brought, and they ended up bringing a black police officer, and I had a lot of rebuttals to what he was saying. And afterward, he came up to me and he gave me a bullet, and he said, "You know, if you still have this type of energy or this radical energy when you are my age," which was, I think, around 60 or 70, at that point, actually, he said, "You know, then you get to keep this bullet." And so, you know, I always keep that in mind. And what inspires me is folks that are of that age or older than me who are still that radical. And to see Reverend Hagler at Target boycotting, so often we talk about passing the torch, but we don't talk about needing to see people still carrying it and telling them to join them. And that's definitely what inspired me, even though I didn't know either one of them.
Thank you. Hey, I think Member Hirsch has a good point. Let's hold that. If we could get to some of the reporting so we can get folks back to the task at hand with the station, and then we can then continue these thoughts during community comment. And at that time. So hold that thought there, Ron and Michael, if you could. And I'm going to go ahead and give the floor to the interim general manager. Your staff is a little scattered, so you tell me how you want. We have the program director's report, membership coordinator, news director, chief engineer. So how do you want to present? Who do you have here this evening?
I'd like Vinny to go first, and then Mo and Sue, and I can read Sataria's, or I can take questions for Sataria and Katia's.
So you want, Vinny's going to do membership coordinator, or what is he doing?
He's a volunteer coordinator.
Coordinator, right. Sorry, that's right. Okay, Vinny Jack, go ahead. You have the floor, sir.
Hello, everyone. I am, of course, in the midst of the drive, so it's kind of crazy, as always. Anyway, I want to thank you guys for bringing me in. First of all, of course, we got the drive going on. That's the first thing. I think we're pretty good as far as weekend volunteers. But if anybody's interested, we do have some slots open on the 21st, the Saturday, and on the 28th. I think I need about two people to help take bone pledges and enter it into our donor system. If you're interested, just reach out to me. Best way is probably email. It's VS and Victor Jack, is JACK at WPFW.org. I'll try to throw it in the chat in a little bit. Probably like the other thing that's going on is we having the WPFW, the 49th birthday celebration. That's coming up on March 1st. And we need some volunteers to help out with that event. Right now, tickets are available via Eventbrite. It's probably best to go to the website, WPFWFM.org. There's a direct link there. Tickets are $49 each. Sales, that's one of the things I'm also checking out right now. Sales are kind of slow at the moment, and so it'd be nice to kind of get some more sales for this event. If you don't have, any kind of money, any kind of funding, I know how things are right now at the moment. We are looking for volunteers, though. We need some greeters, some ushers, some people probably for like a swag table, a water table. Definitely going to need some help with setup and breakup of the place. I'm trying to think. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So, if you can help out, once again, VJack at WPOW.org is the best way to get me. And of course, we're always open for help, especially with volunteers. Like if it's something that I don't send out on an e-blast, if you're interested and you think you can help, just send it. You just never know, because we need help in a lot of different areas. Right now I'm dealing with a computer issue. And it'd be nice to have somebody with some good IT experience. Right now me and Mo are kind of like messaging each other and trying to work it out, but it'd be kind of cool to have somebody else around too to also help us out. So once again, same email address. I'm going to put it in the chat. Any questions, feel free to reach out to me. I think that's it for me today.
Thank you, Vinny.
Thank you, Vinny. You heard the report from the volunteer coordinator. Any questions for Vinny at this time? All right. Hearing none, I will move forward to the news director.
Yes, news director and or Mo, either one.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. We have the chief engineer here with us this evening, Mo Thomas. Mo, if you would like to address us on the current happenings with engineering at the station.
Okay. Good evening, everybody, and I promise to be very brief. I hope you have before you my written report. I tried to keep it as much non-technical as possible, but just so you'll be knowledgeable about the various points of operations is why they're in the report. I did want to amplify a couple of them. On number one in transmission systems, we are at full power. We have been at full power for several months. We are monitoring. The power supplies are part of that deal. So we have four spares on hand. Just to let you know, they cost about $500 a piece to get repaired, but our manufacturer has been very good about support on that. In addition, we've had excellent relationships and support from the engineering folks at American University. Anytime we've had a problem, they've been there to help us through all of our adversities. And I just want to say on the public record how much I appreciate, how much we appreciate our cooperation with American University. Preventive maintenance continues, and we have a nice, might as well be new, backup transmitter in place. And, you know, pardon me for being a little personal, but I think it's exciting that we have that. Over in the studio, you can read through all the items there. If you've been in the studio, you know what we're up to. The one thing I would highlight in the studio operations is the central music server. And we're going to try to migrate as much of our CD library into the server. We will have, I think, lockbox file folders for folks who want to put things on the server but not share. We've had some people ask for that. So overall, the listener financial support has been key to our reliability and our continued success. And I very much appreciate the support of management in every way to keep the station up and running and stable and professional sounding as much as possible. With that, I'll take questions.
Thank you, Mo. You all have heard the report from our chief engineer, Mo Thomas. Any questions for Mo at this time? Member Byfield, I see your hand, but went away. All right. Anybody else have a question for Mo at this time? You're back. Member Byfield, you have the floor. 2 minutes.
Yes. How long, hi, Mo. How long has the station been back at full power?
Well, ever since the power error, which was in July and August with Pepco, we've been more or less at high power. I put a pin in my report as a Thanksgiving, which was the point at which we were at absolute full power and stable. Before that, we were up and down for a lot of reasons, but essentially since Thanksgiving.
Okay, so you weren't at the last meeting, but I have been monitoring our transmission in terms of our ability to reach certain areas over time, and I have several people in several areas that call me, and that I call to see whether or not they're getting good reception, which they used to in the past. One area is West Baltimore, another area is close to Frederick, most recently Hagerstown. What I have found out is that we're still fuzzy in those areas. Now, historically, since I used to travel a lot to Philadelphia to work and to visit my in-laws, I had a clear idea as to how far our reach was based on that. And I don't believe that we're there anymore. And what I want to say is that maybe we could put, and that was going back 15, 16 years ago, right up until now. Maybe with the proliferation of WiMAX and cell towers, we don't have the same type of broad bandwidth that we thought we had, and we may need to reevaluate that to see whether or not we're reaching that. And if not, then we may have to make a decision as to the future, and we may have to invest more in streaming as opposed to broadband. That's my point.
All right. I think that's a statement rather than a question. So if you have anything you'd like to say, Mo, if not, we'll move forward.
Not really. I know it's stable. I also know I've done surveys myself on Route 50 out because I travel on Route 50 frequently, coming and going. I've also traveled up 95. The signal gets reliably up into North Baltimore and most of the time up to Aberdeen, right there at the Aberdeen River crossing, up 270 to Frederick. Hagerstown's going to be rough because we have a first adjacent at 89.1, and they compete for signal capture up that way. Okay. So, but overall, we've been in good shape ever since we've changed antennas and gotten our power levels stable.
Excellent. Thank you so much. All right. We have our news director here, Sue Goodwin. Sue.
Hi there.
Go ahead and give your report, please.
Okay. Well, first, let me say news keeps happening. So we're covering it. And do it the best we can. We're getting out the newsletter, public affairs newsletter, every week. I've also been participating in something called the Pacifica News Project, and this is a cross-station project to explore ways that we as stations can collaborate in a number of ways, share our work. And one of those is how can we share what we're doing in terms of headline news, newscasts, so to speak. So in that effort, WBFW News will be contributing our newscasts throughout the day in a platform where all the other sister stations can use it, as well as the hundreds of affiliates. So I'm honored to have that opportunity. We're still working out some of the kinks, logistical kinks, but we're working on that. Right now, as you may know, KPFA and WBAI already carry some of our newscasts, but this will extend us. And it's good for the station, I think. Also, I do want to let you all know that this collaborative work, we are started to plan the cross-station launch of the No Kings Day, which is on March 28th. So we will have a full day of programming that day with contributions from all the stations, as well as people protesting across the country, valuable contributions from thinkers, and that's coming up. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you so much, Sue. You all have heard the news director's report. Any questions for Sue at this time? I see your hand, Member Byfield.
It's a legacy hand.
Legacy, all right. Anybody have a question for Sue with regards to her report? All right, hearing none. Sue, thank you so much. Good luck with that news coverage. Sounds like I'm reading a little bit from the executive director's report. She's got some more kind of extensive details here. So it sounds like a pretty robust program and coming out. I didn't see anybody from KPFT down in Houston in terms of the leadership group, but I guess that's a work in progress. Do you know?
Work in progress.
All right. Sounds great. All right. We have our interim general manager. I know our program director is busy handling some other issues, so you have double duty. You have the floor.
Thank you. I actually have triple duty. Sataria is pitching, responsible for pitching now, and Katia is working, as you said, on another project. They both submitted their reports previously. Does anyone, and we're really behind in terms of time because we started later than normal because of the Zoom glitch. Does anyone have any questions I could try to address?
Any questions based on the written reports that were submitted by the management team? All right, hearing none. If anything comes up, we'll let you know.
Okie dokie. And I apologize to all. I did not submit a report this month. I do want to reemphasize what Vinny said in terms of need for volunteers and need for help. Want to thank everyone who was able to make a report. Sue is a bit modest. She not only are the No King's Day. They're also suicide-suggested, and they're thinking about, or again, is, this is a work in progress, they want to address or do a response to what's going on with the current president's idea of celebrating the 4th of July. Sue has a project in mind that's really, really exciting, 250 Years American Reckoning. I'm sure I said that title wrong, forgive me. But the point is, she is collaborating with Pacific on a national level, trying to give more relevance not only to WPFW, but to the whole Pacifica network. By working together and coming up with these things, we're trying to make WPFW as well as Pacifica stronger in the news that we were once well known for. Brian DeShazer, who is the gentleman who works with the archives, is going to provide us some Jesse Jackson tapes that we're going to be able to use for the drive, hopefully, as thank you gifts. So that'll be coming up. We can look forward to seeing that. Just briefly, I wanted to let you know also the drive. Currently, we're in day 4 of our winter drive, and it's actually going pretty well. The weekend was very successful in raising over $51,000. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday have each done about, and I think we'll end up with over that $8,000 over each day. If Thursday and Fridays, Thursdays and Fridays usually get a little bit more. If we're able to do that, we'll be not only on target, we'll be a little bit ahead of target. And so that's a really good thing because usually we're always behind and we somehow catch up at the end. So it's really good that we're a little bit in front of it. Several actions were taken prior to the drive, including a group of people assembled by Vinny and Sataria for us to call listeners and let them know that we appreciate their support. It was a simple, about 20 people to call. Most of them were answering machines, but people who received the calls and people even called back to say they really appreciated the thank yous. And then we were able to get our tax receipts out on the 24th of January, which is unusual. In the past, they've gone out in February. They're required by law to go out by January 31st, and we were successful in delivering most of them. There were a couple of glitches, but commend Sataria Joyner for doing an outstanding job of planning and executing that so it works so effectively. Last year when we did the receipts, we sent them out in February. People, we were at my house doing it from about 9 till 6 or 7 p.m. This past time, the effort that we executed only took 2 hours, and it was outstanding. We got it in and out. We got it completed. It was at the post office before by 12 o'clock, so it was great. The programmers are doing a really extraordinary, powerful job of raising money, and this is riding with or against the fact that a lot of people are brokenhearted. The station, we're really grief-stricken. People have been very, especially people who, public affairs people who interacted with Mike Mondays through Fridays. And, of course, now the added burden of the heartbreak of Reverend Hagler. People are still powering through, understanding that the mission is to keep this work up because that's a lot of the time, sacrifice, and energy these gentlemen put. I mean, a lot of Mike's time was about WPFW, and Dr. Graylin, of course, was on our airways at one time on Verna's show. And so it hasn't been easy, but people are coming up to the challenge, acknowledging the passing, doing some beautiful tributes. I think some of you may have heard, but still lifting it all up. And then, as I said again, now we're incorporating, you know, Reverend Jesse Jackson as well. What I would like everyone to please understand or take away is that our staff works very, very hard. They are spread very, very thin. I mentioned at one of the meetings that our budget has been the same, $1.3 million for the past decade, and there's no opportunity for growth. The only reason why we've been able to tread water is because we've had attrition. We no longer have a development director. We have no longer an operations director. We no longer have an HR person. We no longer have a receptionist. We no longer have a public affairs person. All those people do important work that enable WPFW to be more powerful in the work that we do. And so we need help. And when I say we need help, you know, we put out the call, Craig Williams has single-handedly got us back into tabling all these different places. We need to expand our listenership, and we need more bodies to do the work so that we don't wear out our very, very, very small staff. And so I ask you, when we put out the calls for the volunteers for the various items, or we ask you to participate in various things, I ask that you help. And we're going to try to have more events this year. Try to have more outside events so we're not on air, because that's one of the biggest complaints we get consistently from listeners, is that we have just too many on-air pleas. Now, we've done a really good job in the last year. We've gone from three-week drives down to two-week drives. This makes a big difference not only on the listeners but on the staff. It used to be brutal. It's still sort of brutal, mini brutal, but not as brutal now with just 2 weeks. So please, I know you all are doing a lot. I know the committees are, Violetta and the outreach committee are doing things. I know you all are doing things, but please, when Vinny puts out the call for extra help, and when we ask for people to come do simple things like stuff, envelopes, Wanda was there, Verna was there, Dennis was there. We really appreciate it. And Latrice is there. And we thank you so much. And Art was there. I don't want to forget anybody. I know Art was there, but I'm just saying, when you all come, it makes a big difference. I mean, you all were there, so you were a witness what the difference of 20 people, 24 people make to 10 people doing the work. We got it, important work done. So the staff is works very, very hard. The staff is not lazy. The staff is not incompetent. The staff has too much to do. And so we could really, really use the help. So that's my report or my update for now. And so interviewing for the replacement general manager is supposed to be coming up within the next couple of weeks. We had some things that slowed things down, the snow, the sudden death of Mike on February 2nd. He had the heart attack on February 2nd and the death on the 3rd. Things, get in the way, but that is coming soon. I hope that it'll be taken care of so that it won't be a mystery or it won't be unfinished. But part of what you all can do is help us physically in addition to whatever you are doing financially, because we really, really need the help. It's a lot of work for a few people. So any questions?
All right. Thank you, Miyuki. You've heard the report from our interim general manager. I see a couple of hands, member Byfield and then member Pinchback in that order. Member Byfield, you have the floor. 2 minutes, please.
Mike, you're muted.
Member Byfield. No, he's gone. Okay. Member Pinchback, you got the floor. 2 minutes.
All right. How you doing, Miyuki?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hold on, Ron. Mike, are you there? Michael?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, sir.
My question is, when the former GM notified us that he was no longer going to be, he was going to retire in December 15th, 2024, where in 2026 right now. And I used to be on the board of a nonprofit in New York, and we hired executive directors and a lot of people. It only took us 90 days. And why is the GM, the IGM, talking about hiring a GM? Isn't that Pacifica's job?
That's my question. Michael, should I answer?
If you have a information about, go ahead. You can respond.
Michael, I'm not saying that I'm involved with it. I'm just giving you information to know what the timeline looks like. It's a question that I get often.
In a way, I would like to hear our members that we sent to represent the us at the P&D to tell us that.
Sure.
To be honest with you.
I understand your sentiment. Let's we do have us on the agenda to hear from our directors, so we can pose that question at that time. I understand your sentiment. I got you. Thank you for that. Member Pinchback, you have the floor. 2 minutes.
Miyuki, there's been a new development regarding
programming across the board at all stations, at all networks. And that's the equal time clause. This administration is returning to use the equal time rule to they're going to impose that. They're going to reimpose that rule, and it will affect, you know, interviews and such that, you know, that we commonly do. I don't have any suggestions as to how we deal with it, but I just want to put that out there because we do talk to a lot of people, and this administration is unfortunately doing everything it can to block access to these people. So that's something that we're going to have to consider at the PNB level, at the network level, and, of course, the WPFW being in the center of the city, the hub, you know, they're going to be looking at us, you know, over this issue. They've already started looking at some stations, you know, or some broadcasts, claiming that, you know, this new policy will be enforced, and they intend to enforce it as strengthenly as they can. So, just a bug in the ear. We'll talk about it more, you know, at the PNB level, of course, and at the station level, because it will affect how we conduct particularly our public affairs stuff moving forward. And continue your good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. I agree. We are in discussion with John and about exactly what we can and cannot do. Overall, compliance is a major item that we have to address. You may hear our PSAs are just a little bit different. There'll be a major email going out to everyone about compliance in general and those issues that you just brought up. So thank you very much.
Member Goodwin, you have the floor.
Yeah, just to explain, I mean, the last time I researched this, compliance with equal time means that if you present a candidate, if the competing candidates request time, you have to provide it. It doesn't mean that you have to reach out to them and offer it, but it has to be provided. So anyone with a candidate on the air needs to know that that is a possibility. But as Miyuki said, we will, I guarantee, we will provide a very detailed explanation of what equal time means and how it could influence programmers in the very near future.
Thank you. Member Lane, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Sue, for that explanation, because I was not clear that you had to, that if you have a candidate for an interview, that you don't have to reach out to the other candidates, but if they request an interview, you have to provide one for them. Does that prohibit, interviewing? I mean, what exactly is the policy that Ron spoke of? I need to be more clear on what that is.
I think they're talking about the same thing. I just think that there's a definition, a more solid definition that'll come out here shortly, is what's going to go on.
I'd like to respond by just saying that this administration is bringing back that rule because they want to enhance its ability to challenge the, you know, various narratives that are going out there. So you're right. The persons involved, the candidates involved, would have to make that request. But this administration is going to do everything it can to what's the word to make that standard operating procedure for candidates and points of view and points of view that they want to get across. So that's what we have to look out for. Not only the candidates, but points of view.
Yeah, I think Member Pinchback is offering an analysis. I mean, that's something that we all need to, you know, study, go back on our own and kind of offer some feedback on. But I think he's going off something that he's familiar with, being in radio and communications for several years now, just kind of identifying some of the potential that could be coming down with this rule. So
and, I think he's and offering what do, that. What do points of view mean?
Hold on a second. I don't want to get too much in the weeds here.
It means just that.
Hold on a second, Ron. Do we want to have a broader discussion on this? If that's the case, we can tee it up for a later date. But let's try and focus on at least gleaning from our management team, you know, what exactly is happening. I mean, we can definitely go deeper into this if we need to.
Yes, I would like that, Kamal. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sue, your hand is up. I'd like to ask you, would you be able, as a member of this body, to offer a little bit more detail as to what Ron is speaking about, and then also the answer, maybe some of Member Lane's questions and others in a kind of a sidebar session in between meetings?
Yes, and I think what's important here is we need to be clear about this, and all of our programmers deserve that clarity, and I put it in big red letters on my steno pad to move on that very quickly. And I think what we need to remember is that the Trump administration does not like Pacifica, so they will be looking for violations in order to somehow disable us. So I think Miyuki would join me in saying that we will move on this very quickly. I mean, within a week to get clarity on this.
Okay, fair enough. Any other questions for our interim general manager? All right, we're at time certain for this. Actually, we have a little bit more time before we get to finance. Any other questions? All right. Since we have about 10 minutes before we get to finance,
I'm sorry, Kamal. I just wanted to say one last thing. Michael's service is this Friday at People's Congregational Church. The visitation is from 10 to 11. The service is from 11 to 1. So as part of the WPFW family, LSB is invited. I can send all that forward that information to, well, Ellen's got it, so everyone can know. But that's this Friday. Reverend Hagler's will be on March the 1st, a Sunday at 3 o'clock. I'm sorry, Kamau. I meant to say that earlier. I'm done.
All right. If Ellen, if you would distribute that communication with regards to the ongoing, that'd be great. Really quickly, for the question from Member Byfield on the hiring of a general manager, since that is in the purview of the Pacifica National Board, we have a little bit of time here. Do any of the directors have any further insights as to the process or progress? I know the ED put a report out, but is there anything further that either of the directors here present tonight can offer? Member Byfield. So all stand up at the same time.
Well, this is Ron.
Yeah.
In our last PMV meeting, and there have been several, the discussion about the timetable, things have been delayed for a variety of reasons. Each station has a different timetable in terms of when they expect to hire, you know, these GMs. And of course that affects PFW, because that's being handled, you know, by the ED, you know, and the PMB. So that timetable, you know, is slipping. It's not, It's not as firm as we'd like it to be, but that's where we are in the process right now. And there are candidates out there that have to be interviewed, and that process is ongoing. Once we get a solid date as to when this process will come to a head, we'll be more than happy to let everybody know.
Let me thank you, Ron. Let me give you off what the program, what the executive director's report says here under GM searches, bullet point 3. A matrix was developed for initial evaluation of the general manager applicants for WPFW and WBAI across 10 key criteria. The matrix uses a simple rating system to indicate whether each applicant meets the minimum qualifications. Based on this assessment, the strongest candidates are identified and invited to advance in the interview process. The minimum qualification criteria are as follows. Number 1, experience managing a community radio station. Number 2, experience managing any company during organizational or financial challenges. Number 3, experience with budgeting, fundraising, and general financials. Number 4, experience generating revenue, grants, underwriting, donors, etc. All right, so that's your page 2 of the executive director's report. Ellen forwarded that to you all either yesterday or earlier today. All right, so you can take a look there. Sue, is that a legacy hand? Feels like it is. All right, it's Tom
yes,
Chase.
Yes, it is.
All right, thanks. Okay. Tom Chase with us, because Tom, you're up to give us our financial reports.
Great. Thank you. Good evening. I sent the report. We're right on target. Not too much to report. We ended, so that's the first 4 months at the end of January. And you'll see in the first tab of the report there, I've added now a year to date to budget. So we're essentially right on budget. As you can see, you know, for the fiscal year, we're about $200,000 positive net revenue, but we anticipate a strong start to the year. And then later in the year, you know, we have gaps in fundraising, that sort of thing. So we're still expecting to hit budget. We're still working to get underwriting started, and we expect that to kick off after the fund drive. And we're working on a number of grants. So we still, haven't realized any of those lines yet on the revenue side, but we're working those. But listener support is holding up. This fund drive, as Miyuki said, we're ahead of budget for the fund drive at this point. But we've still got a ways to go, and for the month we still have a ways to go. So we continue to work hard to meet the budget and to make the investments we need in the infrastructure and in the staff to make sure everything is whole and working. So that's my report. Happy to take any questions.
All right. Thank you, Tom. You all have heard the financial report from Treasurer Tom Chase. Any questions for Tom at this time? I see Member Goodwin and Member Pinchback in that order. 2 minutes, please.
Forgive me, that was legacy, but just to make it clear, we do have a Pacifica News meeting tomorrow, and we will address the equal time regulation at that time and get back to you.
All right, perfect. Sounds great. Member Pinchback, you have a question for Tom.
Yeah, the underwriting that you mentioned, is this based on a network policy or just a policy for WPFW? Are you working with the national office in developing this policy, and And as you said, it could be implemented, you know, by the next, by the next drive?
Yes. Yes. So the answer to the first question is yes, we absolutely are working with John in compliance primarily on this. And we're putting together what's kind of been taking us a bit of time is we're putting together some software that's going to let us process the underwriting paperwork through a software system. So we're not, doing all this through emails and Word documents with outside, entities who we have to invoice and bill and commit right. to, spots on the air. So, but in terms of the policy, my understanding, right, is that PNB several years ago opened up the opportunity for stations to do underwriting.
Right.
And, as was mentioned earlier, we're under a compliance agreement. So, yes, we're working very closely with John. I always forget his last name, but I'm sure everyone knows him. And yes, so, we think it's important, as Miyuki mentioned, we've got to get our revenue going up. And, we've been making progress on that, but it's still relying primarily on listener support. And, we know there are organizations out there that share our values and that we'd be proud to have their name associated with our station. And they would be proud to be associated with us. So those are the firms we want to get. We want them to be local. We want them, again, and we would have, the GM, the program manager, would have the ultimate say in whether something goes on the air or not. So,
all right. Thank you, Thomas. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Any other questions for Member Chase? Oh, I see. Sorry, Member Byfield. Didn't see your hand there. Go ahead. You have the floor. 2 minutes. Member Byfield, it's your floor, sir. Go on once.
My comment and a question.
Go ahead.
NPR take this underwriting from Lockheed Martin. And you know what? the news about war and defense is skewed in their favor. I'm going to move on. Tom, my question is, what is our current annual budget as it's as projected, and does our projected rent or our anticipated rent in terms of market fit into that budget?
Yeah, so the report has the monthly, cash flow rate for everything. Our budget has our rent throughout the end of the year encapsulated. The total budget for the year on the expense side is $1.5 million, roughly, $1.496. And we're projecting $1.587 million in revenue. And that includes the $50,000 in grants and $50,000 in underwriting and under this budget, that would all be invested in backup power and infrastructure. So those infrastructure projects are on hold until we get, movement on underwriting and grants. But within that budget, within our budget, we've also budgeted money for just sort of ongoing upgrades and maintenance for the infrastructure. And with that, Mo mentioned in his report, a new FM transmitter that's a backup transmitter that was just purchased. That'll be in next month's report. But anyway, my point is we've got in the budget, you know, to hopefully avoid surprises this year like we had last year with the RET, as well as, you know, if we can meet our revenue growth to make investments. And this doesn't include substantial staff investments. You know, Miyuki's mentioned the need for a development director and those things. So, you know, we got to build this up and look really, I think, to next year. You know, we've got some big goals for relocation and staffing and things like that. So, yeah, that's a long answer to your short question.
When I say market, because before this, we were paying somewhere around $17,000 a month for rent, and we're significantly lower now based on where we are. But that's why I use the term market rate, because I know market is not what we're paying right now. We're, you know, we have a great deal, but that's only for the next year, I would guess. And as you project, for whatever we're doing, I think that should be a part of, I know that's probably a part of the budget, which is really why I asked the question.
That's a fair market point. Yeah, no, I got you. So in this year, we don't have, you know, an increase in rent in the budget through the end of this fiscal year. But I think, you know, we have to look at the end of our lease at where we are and make sure that we factor in relocation in the out year. I agree with you completely. But, yeah.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Yep.
Any other questions for Tom at this time? All right, we have about 5 minutes before community comment. Anybody else would like to give some reflections on either the passing of Mike Nocella and or Reverend Hagler before we hear from our community? Any other reflections? And thank you, Tom. Appreciate your report, sir. Member Pinchback, you have the floor. 2 minutes.
I just wanted to comment that, you know, Mike Nocella and Reverend Hagler are two primary examples of the support that we get internally and externally. Mike internally keeping us together on the air, you know, through his tenure, teaching others to do the same. Once again, a very, very powerful, powerful member of the WPFW team. And Reverend Hagler, he was one of our great influencers and supporters of WPFW for a number of years since PFW existed. And people like him, people like Mike, you know, they don't grow on trees, you know. So we have to appreciate them, you know, while they're here. And their contributions once they're gone. They will be missed. Once again, those are two very primary examples of the kind of people that we have here at WPFW, both internally supporting us and externally supporting us. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Ron. Member Byfield, you have the floor.
Hello?
You got it, man. Your floor.
When I first moved to D.C., I went to an event, and it was to, I think Reverend Hagler was running for city council. This is when I first met him. I remember his parents were there, and I just... really grew to respect him. I know that when he ran the second time for city council, we had a fundraiser at our home for him, which is only two political candidates we've ever done this for, and he was one of them. But just a giant, you know. I'm not a religious person, but I do consider Plymouth my church, if anyone ever asked me, because I do go there from time to time. And, you know, he was the person that even influenced me in being a part of a youth against gun violence, which is held at Plymouth. And right up until he couldn't talk anymore. And I just think he's such a great leader. In fact, I think of him in the same light as I think of Reverend Barber and some of the national leaders that you see. It's just that he's right here in our midst. A great person that we just lost.
Yeah. Thank you, Member Byfield. Appreciate that, Michael. We're at just about at 8 o'clock, so we'll open the floor up for our community members at this time. Anyone who would like to come forward, please do. And if you have questions, comments, concerns about your community radio station, you can be heard at this time. I recognize Maria. Go ahead. You have 3 minutes, and then you can have another bite at the apple if you like. But go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much. I want to make sure my mic is working and everything is fine.
We hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much. Hello, my name is Maria. Thank you for having this open space for people to be able to listen, as well as your comment. I appreciate everything that you're doing. This is a great meeting. I am here because I am working on the project with the rapper, The Game. It is called the Head of State Challenge. It is from his song called Head of State, which he says in his song what he would do if he was president for one day. He is having, I have to inhale, exhale when I think about this, millions of his fans send me a letter, whether if it's a rap, poem, et cetera, detailing of what they would do if they was president for a day. Within that, we will send them thank you cards, gift cards, and we really just want the young people, or just people in general, and it is also open to incarcerated individuals, to let us know what they would do if they was president for one day. We have politicians and others backing us, and other celebrities as well. On another note, I noticed you were speaking about a fundraiser. One of my good friends is Miguel Nunez Jr. He is known for his Juana Man, the movie Juana Man. I would love to maybe sit down and have a meeting with y'all and see what he can do. He is one of my biggest supporters and sponsors, as well as The Game. I would like to donate two tickets. I would like to purchase two tickets on behalf of The Game. I will leave my email. Just make sure you send me a thank you letter so I can forward that over to The Game. So that's for your fundraiser. And The Game will sponsor the two tickets. Hopefully you can give it to a youth that really wants to attend and just didn't have the funding. I don't want to hold up more time. I would love to speak more about the Head of State Challenge, but I'll leave the floor for someone else. If there's more time, yes, but if not, I'll leave my email in the chat. Just make sure in the subject line you put Head of State Challenge, and if you want Miguel Nunez, in the subject line put Miguel Nunez. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You're on mute, Kamau.
Thank you, Maria. Appreciate that. Thank you for letting me know. If you could leave as much detail as possible in the chat, that would be helpful. Any other community comments at this time?
Yes, sir.
Hakeem, go ahead. You have the floor, sir. 3 minutes.
I'm 3 minutes. All right. Yeah, good evening, everybody. Hope everybody's been doing well. I'd like to give a shout out to Mike. When I had my show for about 5 years, He helped me a lot, covered me. He covered a lot on my show, even when sometimes when people didn't show up or, you know, he was always there to help me work it out. So I really, really appreciate that, you know. And, yeah, that's about it. That's all I've got to mention of today.
Okay. Yeah, appreciate that. Good positive memories. Floor is open. Anybody else in the community? I included, and the community doesn't have this. They don't get the agenda, but I included a quote on the up. Oh, I do see one. Shayna, go ahead. You have 3 minutes.
Hi. Aloha, everyone. Yeah, I was just thinking about, sorry, my dogs. you know, Miyuki's and Benny's talk about, you know, having more folks get involved, and like with Verna's comments around getting more youth and maybe thinking of like an outreach plan. A few months ago, I had put together basically just a document outlining the ways that like folks could think about tabling and outreach, especially to young folks or people in the community, just like really getting into the nitty gritty of what the work is involved around tabling. And I just dropped the doc in the chat. So thinking about building up a calendar, a budget, and a fundraising plan to ensure that like maybe the costs aren't incurred on the station. This could also include, yeah, also have like a sample agenda of what it would look like to, you know, start meeting around this. I think it's very doable. I think you can also be setting goals on the number of people you're reaching and getting signed up to be volunteers or listeners, things like that. And also, yeah, just the number of like events you're attending per year. There's so much data that you can gather on like how many hours it actually, you know, goes into this work and how many people do you actually reach. So that's just something I wanted to offer. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, no, thank you so much for that. I see the link there. So folks who are interested, I mean, that's one of the main functions of this body going forward is outreach and adding both membership and dollars to the organization. So it may behoove us to examine that document and try to incorporate maybe some of it in what our committees are going to be doing going forward. So thank you, Shane. I appreciate that. Anybody else in the community and at this time? So I was going to try and elicit maybe a comment or two, but I had a friend of mine send me this quote, and I put it in our agenda. And I want to read it for those in the community who don't really get the agenda, but it was something that I thought maybe could give us kind of a sign of the times that we're in and kind of instruct us a little bit more about maybe some of the things we need to be doing and observing. So this is actually from Frank Zappa, if you remember who Frank Zappa is. But his quote is a series of – they kind of cobbled it together, but in essence it goes like this. Civics was a class – that used to be required before you could graduate from high school. You were taught what was in the U.S. Constitution. And after all the student rebellions in the 60s, civics was banished from the student curriculum and was replaced with something called social studies. Here, we live in a country that has a fabulous constitution and all these guarantees, a contract between the citizens and the government. Nobody knows what's in it. And so, if you don't know what your rights are, how can you stand up for them? And furthermore, if you don't know what's in the document, how can you care if someone is shredding it? And so I think that kind of speaks to, at least it spoke to me a little bit about kind of the side of the times that we're in as we see aggression and some of the encroachments on what a lot of people are saying are these rights that are, you know, enshrined in the U.S. Constitution. You know, basically what's happening now, if we take a look at it, there's a lot of trampling on those particular rights. And maybe, just maybe, I'm not saying this group here, but maybe there's enough of the population that really doesn't know what's in there. And if you don't really know, what would compel you to stand up to resist it? So in our efforts, I think, to improve the station, what our mandates are here as a community radio station, we also are required to educate. And I think part of what we can do as a body going forward is move folks into understanding that document, into understanding their rights, and understanding what's happening. And maybe as Frank Zappa says, those student rebellions that were happening in the 60s may actually just get charged up again. So just something to think about as we see, you know, what's happening out in the community today. All right. So with that, I'll hopefully solicit some responses, but if not, then we'll patiently wait. Anyone else from the community? All right. Hearing none, what we can do is we have a couple of reports that we can go to, and I'll let the body, you all tell me if we move forward in the agenda, and if someone from the community would like to raise and make a comment, we can stop at that time. Do we have any objection from moving forward to our next agenda item, which is community outreach report on the agenda? Hearing no objection, we'll move to community outreach with the chair, Violetta Diamond. Violetta, you have the floor.
Good evening, everybody. I'm recovering from a cold, so you don't have a written report. Mariah, are you here still?
Yep, I'm here.
Do you mind going over the town hall report?
Yeah, sure. Give me 1 second to pull it up.
Okay, yeah, because at the last meeting we said that we would come back to you with a report on the town hall meeting that we had at Bus Boys and Poets. So we had that, but we did meet the second Tuesday, and we will get that report to you next time.
So I'm not sure if this has been sent out yet, because I was a little bit late on putting it together. If not, I guess we'll get it out to everybody in written form. But this is just to debrief our December 13th town hall summary. We met at Bus Boys and Poets. It was hybrid, so we had in-person and we had Zoom. Estimated attendance was approximately 30 people in person, and that is excluding the virtual participants. Our master of ceremonies was Kamau, and we had a really different agenda this time, and would also love feedback from the rest of the board, too. But, you know, this time we had opening remarks. We had, you know, our usual updates on the station programming, on finances. We had a report from, well, I guess it wasn't really a report. It was a presentation from Free DC. And then Kamau also led an interactive session and discussion to engage the community, talk more about, you know, what were some of the issues that we are facing today, especially in the DMV. And we did that in small groups. We're able to meet each other. We had an update on New Pacifica bylaws by Susan Young. she provided an overview, and then based off of that, we had a question and answer session, and then we had closing remarks. Overall, we thought that the event was viewed as one of the more effective town halls in recent years because, you know, we added a couple new things like the interactive session. We really wanted to invite the community and make it really community-oriented by incorporating, you know, free DC. We also had a coat drive to give to, well, Kamel, you had to, I can't remember exactly where or what, where we donated the coat.
Yeah, you got it there. New Corinth Baptist Church. You got it there.
Oh, I see. Yeah. New Corinth Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we really thought it was an opportunity to reinforce the station's role as both, you know, a media platform, but also a community partner, right? Because that's what WPFW is about. So I think we really left with a couple follow-up items, which were, you know, to confirm Zoom attendance from Kobe, which I think we still need to do. We wanted to compare attendance and cost considerations between the church, where we usually have our town halls, versus Busboys and Poets for future planning. Any thoughts on that? And, you know, we always want to see better turnout. We did have quite a few folks show up, but we really want to make sure that we are being effective in making sure that we are increasing listener engagement at future town halls. So that is the report. If anyone has any comments, questions, suggestions for the future, feel free to chime in.
All right. You all have heard the follow-up report from the town hall that we had presented by the committee, the outreach committee, excuse me. And any questions at this time? I know, Member Byfield, your hand's been up. I don't know if that's a legacy hand or not, but. Member Byfield? Okay. Any questions, any thoughts and concerns? In that town hall report, one of the follow-up items, going back to it again, is this listener engagement and trying to draw more folk into the fold. I think sometimes, and I'll just, you know, maybe it's just me projecting, but I think sometimes a lot of us, if there's something that we feel like there's something that can be done, it's always the mirror, right? It's like, well, if it can be done, why aren't you doing it kind of thing? And so I think we hesitate as a group maybe sometimes to come up with or present these ideas and such because the follow through may not necessarily be there. So part of what this big meeting, the larger once a month meeting is to kind of, you know, come center, report on what we're doing, but then these things that end up happening are in the smaller committees. And so I want to challenge the smaller committees that when you come here, the results are given, not necessarily the planning. And so as we move forward in for the rest of the year, let's try and do the big lifting in the smaller committee meetings. And here we can just simply kind of report on those larger impactful things that the small committees are doing. So, you know, just a thought, you know, not to put anybody on blast, but just to really, you know, say that our kind of, you know, work, hard work is done in the smaller committees as opposed to here tonight in this larger once a month meeting. I see Member Lane, Member Nyawi, welcome. I see your hand, go ahead, and then Member Lane in that order.
Hi, thank you, Chair. I missed some of the report, but I did attend the town hall virtually. I was out of town, and I was really, I liked the new format. I was really impressed with the Free DC presentation and the suggestions that were made for people to handle certain situations like taxes that I thought were pretty innovative. I wasn't in D.C., but I think it was pretty cold. And I'm wondering, you know, if the weather may have had an impact, a negative impact on the turnout. I was just wondering that, you know, when I was there virtually, but I really like the new format. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. It was very cold that day. One of the first days of the season that was really cold, and it's not far from a metro, but it's not necessarily close either. So, you know, sometimes walking in that kind of weather is challenging as well. So we don't have a lot of venues that are just right off the metro, but I think that is a consideration. I do think, though, obviously, if we get that full report back on the Zoom attendance, that will actually give us even more of an idea just what the attraction was, even though I think a lot of those people on Zoom are kind of, you know, internal Pacificans already. But that would help us actually, you know, with some of the numbers as well, our count. Member Lane, go ahead.
Yes. I'm glad that the town hall was successful. Might I suggest, in terms of outreach, that we consider doing regular town halls, but we do them based on issues that either we cover or issues that are important to the community. If we do them on a regular basis and we do them in the community, then we will begin to get more and more buy-in and participation for WPFW. It is something that the station actually used to do. Not just a town hall about WPFW. And so we can still have those, but we have the opportunity to partner with other community-based organizations and to choose a topic and then advertise a town hall about that topic. In terms of reaching more people, we certainly can stream the town hall. So when we have important issues that come up, I mean, whether or not that's tenants' rights or whether or not, you know, that's something else, health care, I mean, health, you know, right now I'm getting ready to do a town hall on what's happening at Cedar Hill Hospital. And I've only advertised it for 20 days, and, you know, 5 newspapers contacted me just about that issue. And so I'm saying that we can do the same thing and just choose, just do this on a regular basis. It could be quarterly. You know, it could be every 3 months. You know, there's a lot of different ways we could do it. I'm just suggesting that as a way to get more out of our relationship with the community.
Ambrose, you must have been at the meeting because literally at the last outreach meeting, we were proposing just that, that the town halls need to be more often. So one of the months, I think we're coming up here on May, that we're going to promote another town hall and then try and do them 4 times a year. The issues around which these things center, we haven't chosen or discussed yet. But I'll, you know, the committee, I'm sure, will build that into the next meetings. But yeah, there's no question about it. More often and issues concerning the community or the issues that the community are concerned about should be primary or at least some of the focus of what's happening at those town halls. So I appreciate that. I'm glad you echoed what the committee was trying to do. Appreciate it. Unsolicited, by the way. I didn't pay him.
Well, the town halls largely should be more outward facing. In other words, if we do 2 town halls in a quarter, one town hall should be on WPFW. The other town hall should be on an issue that is important to the community. I mean, we can't do 4 or 5 town halls a year and it always only be about WPFW. That's not going to work.
Right. Totally agree. I see someone call in user 1. you have the floor. You have something you'd like to say.
Hi. Thanks. Your public comment is still open, right?
Yes. We moved to another agenda item, but we said we'd stop if there was any public comment. So go ahead.
I'm very public. So hi and good night to everybody in D.C. I know y'all are having a challenging time. We're all having a challenging time. This is Serene Roberts. I'm from WBAI. I am a member, however, of WPFW, a longtime member. And I could tell you what my favorite programs are, but I think I only have 2 or 3 minutes, so I'll skip that. I wanted to specifically invite PFW people to attend the WBAI town hall on March 14th. It's the second full Saturday in March. The information is on kpftx.org. We're mostly at this point focusing on the bylaws because, as some of you know, the new bylaws were gifted to us in April of last year, and even the people who wrote it don't seem to know what's in it. So, you know, please come out and let's talk about it. But I agree with Ambrose that every town hall meeting doesn't have to be about internal affairs, so to speak. It's really about figuring out or asking the community what they want to talk about and providing them a platform to connect with other people who may share their views and make great work partners. I don't think I missed, I might have missed the director's report. I want to ask that you hold your directors to account for some of the stuff that's happening in Pacifica. In particular, your vice chair is Minerva Sanders, and the PNB secretary is Julie Hewitt. So everything that happens on a national level is within their purview and happening, I would say, from my observation, largely with their consent. And I don't, you know, when I listen sometimes to your recordings, I don't get the sense that they are being as clear about their role in the governance changes that are happening within Pacifica, changes that are happening without any observation of the process that's laid out for changes in Pacifica's governance. We are well on our way to the system that we fought bitterly against in the late 1990s. So please listen to the PNB meetings. They're all archived at kpftx.org. Listen live if you can, but if you can't, go back and listen to the archive. And tomorrow night, for example, the Governance Committee, which Julie chairs, and which is an interesting gathering, meets at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. So, you know, please listen to that. And when you next meet, make sure that the people who are there as your delegates, and that's only for now because, you know, LSBs have been completely cut out of virtually any of the operations of the foundation. You delegates used to be able to join national board committees like governance, like audit, for example. The audit, that's another thing. Your chair, your Minerva is the chair of the audit committee. You really need to know what the people who you sent to the national board are doing in your name. So I will leave that there, and I will forward some information to your secretary to share with you. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Serene, all right, so we were on the question and answer for the outreach committee. Anything further on, and as you can see, that there's town halls everywhere. There's a town hall WBAI is having on March 14th. So community, that's the word. That's the way we have to operate. We can't divorce ourselves from the fact that it's a community operation. And without that, we really don't exist. As you know, we're in the middle of fund drives. And, you know, I was on air this morning, early this morning, late last night, however you want to call it. And, you know, you get good feedback, but you also know in the midst of that, there is an obligation that the station has to pay the bills. And so you don't want to kind of burden the community with that. But at the same time, they have to understand that, it, you know, one hand does wash the other in this relationship. So anything further on outreach? If not, we can move into our PNB. Oh, we got a hand. I see a phone number ending in 438. You have the floor. Four three eight.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. My name is Nancy Sybar and Aditomi from KPFT Houston. I would like to say something that I've been wanting for a long time is we do some town halls on the air. And I don't know your location, your big problems of your community. Well, let me give you an example here in Houston. We have a Harris County jail. We had 21 incarcerated deaths last year. This is terrible. And I wanted to, I'm trying to build an, you know, a nice town hall, invite maybe retired judges, lawyers or social workers, probation officers, anyway, something to address this problem. The mass incarceration is just, they're planning to build another jail here. And instead of building another and another, we ought to have some kind of way to for the community to get together. And radio would be, like, fabulous. And invite new audience that don't know the station very well, but can – the station can prove itself to be a very valuable tool for bringing in a lot of communication and discussion and a lot of things. Like we have a lot of schools closing in Houston Independent School District. We have a state-appointed superintendent who has spent a lot of money on a lot of wasteful things like changing furniture and bicycles that are adult size that don't even fit the children, and horrible curriculum where the children are tested, and have very little time to have a toilet break, such that the teachers are having buckets, and some children are afraid to go to the toilet. Something on education, you're going to get a new audience of younger parents, younger aged listeners. Our listeners are kind of gray haired, and that would invite a lot of new listeners, new audience. Anyway, I just wanted to put that idea because we are not doing, and I remember a few years ago, BAI did something on mass incarceration, and I was listening. It was fabulous. It was really, really, really good. That's all. I just wanted to put that out. Thank you.
No, thank you. Appreciate that. Looks like some folks are excited about some of the ideas you've offered. We're at time certain on public comment. I see Member Hirsch. Go ahead with your.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly ask our friend from Houston, are you in touch with the affiliate there? Because you do have a great Pacifica station right in town there. And it sounds like you had a good mix of national issues and also some hyper-local issues. And I'd like to encourage you to engage with the Houston affiliate to go after these. That's an outrageous situation in the public schools. And makes me feel a little bit better about our situation, as shaky as it can be sometimes. We're not quite that bad. But thank you for your concerns and for your ideas about going after mass incarceration. It's a serious problem.
All right. Perfect. All right. We are able – I think we cleared the deck on the outreach committee, correct? So let's go ahead and move forward. It's 8:30, almost 8:35. We can start with our PNB directors. Our PNB directors here tonight are members Hewitt, Pinchback, and Sanders, and I'll go in alpha order. However, they like whatever you'd like to share about the current PNB and what the issues and concerns are with the national board, please do so. Member Hewitt, you are up.
Sure, thanks. So we've met twice in early February. Actually three times, but only two that I can talk about. We met on the 5th, the 9th, and the 12th. The meeting on the 9th was an executive session. So meetings on the 5th and the 12th had open session components. At the meeting on the 5th, we passed a motion putting some policies in place about how the PNB would go about electing directors to replace any resigning directors on the PNB. Just sort of how we vote, you know, how long the voting will be open, who can vote, just sort of basic stuff like that. We also passed the budgets for WBAI and the national office. So the important thing to know about that is that for the first time in years, we are only one third through the fiscal year because our fiscal year starts on October 1st. And we have passed all the budgets for all the units in our in the foundation. Thank you. That was freaking me out. You've seen my whole big face right there. So we passed all the budgets. You know, you're supposed to pass budgets before the start of the fiscal year. But, you know, as Miyuki has talked about earlier, you know, we're stretched thin. And so getting budgets in place at the beginning of the fiscal year has been a tremendous challenge for us. And I will just point out that in a couple of recent years, we passed our last budget across all the units on the last day of the fiscal year. So this is a decided improvement. And we should pause and recognize that. We also passed a motion on prior authorization for events and publications. And basically, this is about making sure that management at stations are aware of things that the LSB or others are putting together, either in terms of like a local event that's meant to be in the name of the station, or a publication also in the name of the station. And this grew out of a kerfuffle over a mailing that happened at one of the sister stations. And basically the idea is just to make sure that, you know, station management is aware of what's going on. You know, if there are requirements for you know, a meeting that you need to have insurance to make sure that you're covered by insurance, make any edits to publications that people might want to put out, you know, like for example, an example of a publication would be things like our the cards that we use when we do tabling, and gives you know, the executive director or station management the chance to tap the brakes on an event if it's, you know, not really well thought through, right? We still have not gotten to the motion about raising the minimum membership fee for Pacifica. I'm thinking that there's just some people want more information and there's just not tons of energy around actually raising the fee. That's mostly what we did in the meeting at the 5th. At the meeting on the 9th, as I said, it was an executive session, so I can't talk about it too much except to say that it was about the executive director evaluation. The new contract for the executive director. And then we met again on the 12th. And at that meeting, the main thing that we did in open session was we had, you know, per hour, motion that we'd passed before, we had the, people who were candidates for the open PMB seats, come and, you know, kind of like give a little, talk about why they were interested in being on the PMB. And then, people were able to ask them some questions and voting, for those director representatives or those replacement directors, commenced later that evening, I think, well, it depends what time zone you were in, and, goes, through Thursday, I think. So that's pretty much what we did. And I will turn it over to either back to Kamal or over to the other directors.
All right. No, that was perfect. If you all would just hold your questions, we'll hear from each director, and then we'll have a stack of questions after that. So next up is Director Pinchback. You have the floor.
All righty. Pretty much what Julie has reported. I do want to clarify something. The voting that was taking place to replace these termed out representatives, that's not the election that we have to prepare for the general body. That is still, you know, in the planning stages. Deadlines and dates are being discussed. Unfortunately, nothing has been totally established yet in terms of time. But once again, these people who are termed out or who have resigned, the elections that we had, you know, of the PMB, within the PMB, were to replace those individuals, and yes, some rules have changed along those lines as well. So, but that's not in place. That's not to replace the election that is scheduled at the end of this year, and that we have to prepare for to be engaged and done, you know, by the end of the year. The policy that Julie was talking about, in terms of groups or individuals that would like to sponsor events on behalf of the station, that, you know, to seek prior approval or to give prior knowledge to the station management and network management, because of the liability issues. And, you know, that's just one of the issues, but it's not an attempt to curtail that activity. It's just an attempt to, understand, you know, what's taking place, so that management will know what's taking place so that they won't be blindsided, with an event, you know, you know, they receive information about an event or they hear about an event on air that they know nothing about, you know, and so to protect the network, protect the station, and our interests, this policy will just, you know, make those opportunities possible, but with those just guidelines, say, what are you doing? Who, what, when, and where, that sort of thing. And that's going to be important for us because, and probably BAI too, because at some point we're going to have new managers, which means they're, you know, as best they can, they're going to understand or not understand the lay of the land, as they say. So, you know, and, you know, there'll be a lot of individuals, organizations, and things like that that would want to sponsor an event. That they may not be aware of, or they don't know who the players are involved. So once again, it's just a way to just make sure everything's on even keel so that, You know, we don't get blindsided with a lawsuit or, you know, or something like that. We can't afford any more lawsuits. That's all I have to add on that, you know, on this. So, but yeah, the one thing important, once again, the election for new delegates, that process is still ongoing. We should have a completed process, you know, or completed, completed process, you know, hopefully by the next board meeting, by the next PNB meeting next month.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Member Pinchback. And one more director here this evening is Member Sanders. You have the floor.
All right. Good evening to everyone. And from the PNB, we're addressing a lot of things that will be changing when the election starts and beginning in 2027. One of the key things that is hanging in my head, and I'll just say this, and some may take it as being offended, but these funds that are given to the PNB used at the different stations to make sure that salaries are paid and things of that sort are covered by most of the stations of the network. And I would ask that as these executive director reports come out, please pay attention to those, because we need to be sure that all stations are helping carry this load. See if there are any stations on there that are not paying into this, but they are receiving benefits from it, being the biggest one to carry the charge if something comes up, but they're not doing their share. I'm, along with others, are asking that they begin to look and see what can be done to make sure all of the stations, because the affiliates are doing their part. And when we come to the funding from the sister stations, there may be, I think now there might be one that hasn't paid their share of those funds for a few months, maybe longer. But we need to make sure, if you're going to come and speak up and speak out about what Pacifica is not doing, then we need to make sure all stations are financial. And we have one station in particular, we just sold their building to help get one of our stations. There was a lawsuit regarding an item that they had to make sure that was taken care of. So, you know, what's being done to make sure that station helps the station that no longer has a building? And the goal is that hopefully within a few years that each of the stations will have their own building. So those are the things that, you know, we're looking at from a national level. And so it's not on a station level. That's why it's up to the stations to make sure they get their membership engaged and get them involved, go and do the town halls and talk about the things they want to talk about and get them engaged in their station to keep it growing and going forward. So those are the things that we're talking about or heading towards. And as you read that report, I think it gives a plan of maybe up to 5 years, what the thoughts are about where they see the stations plus the affiliates going. And hopefully during this time frame, we'll be able to bring in more members to each station and also bring in more affiliates, because as I always have said, WPFW is one of the best kept secrets in this area. those who know about it have not, you know, gotten the words out to everyone, so they'll come and take part in it, because a lot of the things that we need, the station can share information to get help, but we can't go out and stand up and say, we're for this, we're against that. We can just say, these things are out here that the public needs to be paying attention to. We can direct them to locations where they can get more information about it, and we can invite people on to interview and speak and tell us, you know, ways that things can be done. That is the reason that I came to this station. That's what got me involved in what WPFW is doing. Thank you.
All right. You all have heard. Oh, yeah. Julie, go ahead. You have something to add?
Yeah, just one quick thing. It wasn't in my notes from meetings because we didn't talk about it, because the equal time thing only just came up this week. And so I just wanted to say Pacifica has FCC attorneys, and we will talk to them because they're the folks who know, you know, the final word on exactly how far can we walk up to the line and when do we cross it? Because one of the things I'm a little bit worried about is that, you know, the FCC saying like, hey, we're going to come after people for equal time violations, you know, is going to get people to censor themselves. And it's like, so we need to know where the line is so that we don't self-censor, right? And so I'm going to make sure that the, you know, Pacifica engages with the FCC attorney and tries to get some the word out to, you know, the GMs and program directors as quickly as possible. Thanks. Sorry, I meant to add that.
Yeah, no problem. I'll take a stack now. You've heard from our directors as they've reported on things happening at the national board. I see Member Hunter, Member Nyawi, and Member Pinchback in that order, and Member McLean. So go ahead, Member Hunter, you have the floor. Yeah, 2 minutes.
Greetings, thank you. Thanks for the reports from the PMB. At the almost end of the last board meeting we had, it must have been January, Member Gordon raised the issue that when he went on to the IRS website that Pacifica was not currently not currently recognized as a in compliance, for lack of a better word, 501c3. Did that come up at the last PNB meeting? Because we were all kind of very concerned about that. We don't know what that means as a fundraising operation that is advertising that they would be able to, you know, offer people to do tax deductible contributions, when we are not really solidly viable. I know somebody was saying that it can be fixed relatively quickly and you can get reinstated, but has any of that come up, and can somebody answer that? Thank you.
I'll defer to anybody, any of the directors want to take a shot at that?
Yeah, I'd like to take a shot at that, because that information is within, you can find that information in the executive director's report for this cycle. It has details about the non-compliance issue with our taxes and stuff like that, and gives explanation as to, you know, what's happening, what happened, what is happening, and what is going to happen. So you'll find that information in the executive director's report for this cycle. It's right there, and I encourage, along with some other information, I would encourage the members to read that report, and then you can get some of those answers that you're asking. Jawara, that answer is in that report.
All right. Thank you very much.
Right. Yeah, and I'll just add,
yes,
if I could. Mm-hmm. We did talk about it in closed session, and so that's why I didn't bring it up as part of, you know, the kind of like running through the stuff that we talked about in open session. But Ron's right. The details are there. And I'll just add, you know, if you think about it, the federal government's not allowed to hire people right now. And so the IRS is in a little bit of a deep hole. And so we think the paperwork is going to get, you know, processed soon enough, and that the website will be fixed, but it's not fixed yet. So, you know, we keep hoping we'll get there soon.
Great.
But the point is, that's just the reporting part. The actual fixing, I think, is going to happen faster.
Okay.
Okay. And Kamau, this is Minerva.
You're adding to that?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
I was the person that had stated I would go back and ask that the executive director or the president of the PMB give a letter or give us information that they had received to show what was being done. It's automatic when you get indication from the government that you're out of adherence for your 501c3. This is not something that looks at all the systems that they have to address our issue. And if one of those systems is not updated, it will show what was said, that we were out of compliance, but they are working on that. And we're also going through some other parts to try to get us back on track so we don't have these things happen in the future. Thank you.
Yeah, just a quick follow-up, because I know, you know, with other board work that I've done, audits and reviews that are necessarily done for nonprofits, the 990, they can be very arduous. They're not easy, and you have five stations with different sets of books and different accountants. Has an accountant been solidified, you know, secured for us? Is that information available?
Okay.
Yeah, so really quickly, it's in the, as Ron mentioned, it's in the report from executive director. We have engaged an accounting firm who are currently working on completing our taxes for fiscal years 23, 24, and 25. So that's there. All right. Thank you, Member Hunter, Member Nyawi, McLean, and Lane in that order. I think that will wrap us there. Go ahead, Member Nyawi.
Yes, thank you, Chair. When I heard the term prior authorization, that automatically sent up an alert for me just because of, I guess, my experience in the medical field and kind of knowing how that process kind of evolves into, I guess, in the terms of the station, it would be somewhat akin to censorship. So I'm wondering, I mean, I heard Ron say that it's not censorship. It's just, I guess, protecting the station, I believe he said. But I'm wondering how this prior authorization process differs from what is currently in place. And, you know, yeah, I'd like to know what's different and if it's really necessary. If anybody could speak to that, that would help me be more relaxed about it.
Let me just try and clarify. You said prior authorization as it relates to events outside of the station. What are you speaking about? Is that?
Well, yeah, Julie, when she was giving her report,
okay,
said that they were going to have prior authorization of written material or
okay
stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, all right. Ron, do you want to speak to that, or she was?
Yeah, yeah, I do.
Julie mentioned it. Okay, Ron, go ahead.
Yeah, because you know what it is. You said how would it be different from what we have now? Right now, we really don't have anything like that.
So, hold on 1 second. We're at time certain for this. We're actually past time, 8:57. After this is the program committee report chaired by Member Sanders. Member Sanders, do you have anything for that report? If not, I can extend through that until 9:05 for this. Member Sanders, are you there? I'm trying to see if we can continue this conversation or move to our time certain, which is our program committee.
Okay, let me just share with you, no, I do not have any information. I would have to ask the vice chair, David Hurst. Do you have anything? I mean, not David, but Mike Hurst or either David Kiyoshi. Do either of you have information for the committee?
We failed to have a quorum, so we can
continue with this important discussion.
Any objection with continuing with our program, our PNB director's reporting? Any objection? All right, time certain on this will be 9:05. Go ahead, Ron, continue.
Okay. Yeah, the policy will be, you know, left up to how do I say this? The policy allows the stations to continue to do, you know, what they're doing in terms of, you know, offering opportunities for community groups and things like that to host events and, you know, using the station's name. However, that has to be, it was decided that that has to be codified with some type of document saying that, you know, the WPFW is aware that this event is going to take place. You know, we're not putting constraints on it, you know, or anything like that. It's just that it just acknowledges that this organization or this individual is working on, you know, this project, and it has WPFW's go ahead, you know, is to proceed. The only thing that is going to be required is that some minimal language like date, you know, when is the event going to take place, who's organizing it, if there are any monies to be exchanged, things like that. But in terms of, you know, who is doing it or what is this being done, that's still under the purview of the stations. This is just a way for the executive director and station management to know what is going on, you know, beneath their noses. And like I said, we've got a new manager coming in, you know, and they're going to need that kind of assistance because everybody's going to, you know, I'm just going to tell you, people are going to come in and ask for things that they may not be able to provide, you know. So this way, you know, everybody's on the same page. You know, this is not, hey, you got permission. You know, no, you know, we'll create the project and then identify the project and let the national office know what the project is, let the station management know what the project is, and then go from there.
All right. Thanks, sir. Member McLean, you have the floor.
Hey, good evening. Thank you for the report. So I guess going off of Member Nowy's question, actually, my question was different, but I guess, Ron, Julie, were there prior incidents that kind of made this come into effect with events? Is this based off of precedent, or is it based off of being proactive?
A little bit of both.
Yeah. A little bit of both.
The most important thing is that, I fixed my mic. Sorry about that. The most important thing was it was a publication. It was one of the West Coast stations. And, well, I'll just say it was KPFK. And there was a postcard that was sent out. It was meant to be like the holiday, thank you for being a KPFK listener kind of thing. And it had an artist rendering. And it, unfortunately, so their tower is on Mount Wilson. So it's, you know, it's in the mountains above LA. And, you know, there's a picture that's like a beautiful sunset and clouds and snow. And it looks really nice. But it was an actual photograph. And then there was an artist rendition of that. And it looked like it was on fire. And this was 1 year after the Altadena Pacific Palisades fire. And it was just a little too much for people. And a lot of people got upset about it. And it was just kind of like, and the thing is, it was a small number of people on the LSB who undertook this project but paid for it with station money. And, you know, it started this kerfuffle, and it's like, you know, a small number of people, no matter how well-intentioned, should do something like that without, you know, checking in with station management, and that's where they probably would have said, huh, the photograph looks better than the artist rendering, for example. And, you know, you can go forward with the photograph, but you can't use the artist rendering because it looks like, it's just a little too raw for too many of our listeners. So.
Got it.
So that's kind of what happened, right? You know, it was really unfortunate. I mean, it was, people were well-intentioned. I have absolutely no doubt about that, but it didn't work out so well.
Magic. May I ask a quick follow-up?
Please do.
Okay. So, you know, right now we're talking about additional town halls, especially as we're talking about on the outreach committee and doing that with the community. Are those things, like, say if we do something more than, I mean, four times a year, are those things that we would need to run by and get approval moving forward if that were to...
I wouldn't use the word approval. I would just use the word inform.
And but they do have the permission to say, no, you cannot do that?
If it's something that would put the network in jeopardy or the station in jeopardy, sure, they're always going to reserve the right for that.
Yeah, so if someone has the right to shut something down, then it is approval. So that is my question. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, the only people that can shut it down would be the station itself.
Right.
I see. It's not Pacifica. Okay, it's not national. It would be WPFW.
No, yes. Thank you.
Got it. Thank you for that clarification. That helps. One last one, if there's time, and I could just come back if so.
We're at it right now, but quickly.
The last question, Julie, you were speaking briefly about the resignation, discussing what happens if someone on the board resigns or if someone times out. What was determined?
You mean why did they leave?
No, I mean in terms of re-election. Like, what are the...
So, following the bylaws and following the transition component of the bylaws, you know, what happens is we maintain the LSBs take care of this for LSBs, and the PMB takes care of this for the PMB, but we maintain the current size and class of members. So we, you know, we have staff and we have listener members, right? And so we maintain that now. That will all change, you know, as Ron pointed out very clearly before, that will all change when we have these elections later in 2026 for both the PMB and the LSBs. The boards will be smaller, and, you know, how the voting will be conducted will be a little bit different than it has been in the past. But the point is, you know, the motion that we passed was really only about what we do from now through the end of 2026 in the event that we have vacancies. I hope I answered your question, Mariah. I'm not sure if I did or not.
Yeah, you did. What was passed for 2026? Or the rest for the PNB?
I can send you the whole motion. I'm happy to do that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's not hard. Yep, you bet.
All right. Thank you all for that. Good informative discussion. We're at unfinished business. Part of the unfinished business this evening, we had three items on there. One was the proposed LSB goals, delegate nominations, and then relocation committee nominations. Patiently waiting, we do have a nominee to fill one of our four. As you all know, we have four listener member slots open on the board. We have a nominee here tonight that we'll hear a little bit from we'll hear from her. Allow her to present why she feels like she would like to become part of the local station board. And then you will briefly ask a few questions, and then we'll consider her for membership. Tonight we have Latrice Vincent, Latrice Vincent did speak up earlier tonight as she gave a tribute, but we'll hear from her directly here now as to why she's accepted the nomination and why she would like to participate in the local station board. So, Latrice, you have 3 minutes if you'd like to go ahead and give us a little bio and give us why you would like to become a member. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Kamau. Good evening, everyone, and thank you all for the opportunity to be here. My name is Latrice Vincent, and I'm a proud native Washingtonian who has long believed in the power of community radio, especially WPFW, to inform, connect, and uplift our city. This station has meant a great deal to me over the years, not only as a listener since childhood, but also as a former show co-programmer and co-host for Voices with Vision, which airs every Tuesday at 9 a.m., I'm sure you all know. Being behind the mic and working alongside Netfa Freeman and Craig Hall have given me a deep appreciation for the care, collaboration, and commitment it takes to keep authentic, community-centered voices on the air. Professionally, I'm a local real estate agent, which keeps me closely connected to the evolving neighborhoods and people of D.C. I also work with a nonprofit operating cultural music and arts tours to Africa, work that reflects my passion for cultural awareness, exchange, and sustainability, music, arts, and education, and global connection. These are values I believe align strongly with WPFW's mission. And I'm seeking a listener member seat on the local station board because, number one, as a native resident, I feel the station is a part of this city's identity, and I want to contribute to preserving the local identity and cultural distinctiveness, protect independent media from commercial pressures, and take pride in facilitating this platform for the D.C. community. Number two, as a mother and aunt, I want to play a part in reinvestment in the community and help ensure future generations have the same cultural resources. And three, as a musician, I want to support local music, arts, and culture. And supporting WPFW, I feel, is one of the best ways to accomplish this ideal. Serving on the LSB is a way to nurture the ecosystem that promotes local musicians, grassroots events, and regional history and traditions. I would be honored to serve as a listener member of the local station board. I bring institutional knowledge. I've seen firsthand a fair amount of what it takes behind the scenes to keep strong community programming on the air. I also bringing community relationships and a deep respect for the role this station plays in our city. Thank you for your consideration, and I welcome your vote. Thanks again.
Thank you, Latrice. You all have heard from Latrice Vincent. She's been nominated by Verna Avery Brown. She's accepted that nomination. You've heard her background and bio and why she feels she's an excellent candidate to be a listener member. Any questions for Latrice at this time? Let's take a stack. Member Sanders, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the young lady that is looking to be a listener member, I would say we welcome you if you're chosen, and we look for your support, because we need more people within your age group coming into this that will help us keep the station going and growing. We have the majority of what you're talking about is for the D.C. area. What about the other areas that surround us? We've got Virginia, We've got Prince George's County. We've got some of West Virginia. I'm sure they're included in our area. What would you do to help those people come in and be engaged with the station? And that's just a question, not saying that you have all the answers, but I think, you know, everyone talks about the station as being a D.C. station, but I do know that you cover that the station covers other areas. And what would you do to help bring those other people into the fold?
Well, right now I am presently residing in Prince George's County, and just as I'm meeting people, I'm a licensed real estate agent in D.C. and Maryland, so I travel throughout the state of Maryland and across D.C. as well. And wherever I go, I also travel internationally, as I think I mentioned. And wherever I go, I always talk about WPFW. I was excited when we finally started having providing access streaming so that people across the globe can listen to WPFW and be very well informed. So what I would continue to do is promote WPFW even harder, include in all of my communication, email, any sort of written materials that I produce in my other endeavors, I would continue to, it will increase promoting WPFW in that sense, if that's allowed. And whatever I can do, like, again, I speak to all types of people in all walks of life, and I'm always pushing WPFW. And I think some of the ideas that were presented during the meeting tonight in terms of the town hall increasing that frequency and expanding the meeting to include more of the community is a great idea. Anything that I could do to assist with that. I'm looking at the outreach committee as a particular interest if I'm chosen to sit on the LSB. And so off the top of my head right now, those are some things that I could, you know, could do and increase what I've already been doing.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Any other questions for Latrice at this time? If not, I'll consider a motion to accept her nomination.
Mr. Chair, this is Minerva Sanders. I make that motion that we accept her.
Is there a second?
Seconded. Mike Hirsch.
Any discussion? Any opposition to accepting Latrice Vincent as a listener member for the remainder of the 2026 calendar year? Hearing none, Latrice, welcome to the local station board as a listener member for the 2026 calendar year. Roll up your sleeves and get ready for work. Appreciate you.
You're an honor. Thank you all.
I appreciate you all.
All right. Sounds great. So we got Latrice in. Ellen, let's make sure we get her email and then go get her on the listserv and then get her some of the information that she'll need to be effective in her role, okay?
I will put my email in the chat so that she can send the information to me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, just email Ellen Latrice so that
you can get connected. Welcome, Latrice.
Yep.
Welcome aboard.
All right, sounds good. That was quick and easy. Thank you all for that. We still have three listener member positions open. And so we're actively asking that you all search your networks, find like-minded folk, find folk who are interested in community radio, find folk who are influential in the community, so on and so forth, that would be willing to sit with us and build and improve on what has already been 49 years of excellence and great programming. We just need to add to that as we, you know, fill out the rest of our local station board membership. Okay. So keep that in the front of your minds as you go out and about grocery shopping. You find really good, strong people and candidates. We want to bring them forward. I don't think Ellen received anything in the way of nominations on the relocation committee as unfinished business. So we're going to, I'm going to move to postpone that until March, unless Ellen tells me that otherwise, that we received any nominations. And again, you can self-nominate for that committee. It's a little tricky, I know, because that committee really is, you know, there's not a lot of pressure to do a relocation at the time, but we don't want to be, you know, preparing in haste, you know, and kind of, you know, fire drill in order to get that committee going. But we're asking if you want to be a part of that, that we're reforming that committee, and that you can nominate yourself. Just send it to Ellen that you want to be a part of it. If you want to nominate someone else, you can send that in. Just make sure they've accepted it, so on and so forth, and then we can try and fill that committee in March. Any opposition to that approach? I see Member Chiasi. Go ahead.
No, I don't have any opposition to it, and maybe I missed this. We did reach a quorum for this meeting, I presume.
Yes, we did. Yeah, I stated. I tried to state that earlier, but we did. Yes.
Yeah, that's my only comment. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. No. Good question. Member Hewitt.
Yeah, my question was, since Latrice is now one of us and has real estate experience, does she have any commercial real estate experience? Because I'm guessing the relocation committee could use you if you have even a hint, a whiff of commercial real estate experience. Just putting that out there for everyone.
Absolutely. Anything in that way, or you can, give us your bona fides a later date. But yeah, definitely commercial real estate is something that the committee's in need of expertise there.
Can I respond quickly to
that? Of course. Yeah, please do.
Okay. Thanks for the question. I am just breaking into commercial real estate, primarily residential real estate. But I was somewhat involved a little bit outside of the WPFW in your search, your latest search. I did have a space that I wanted you guys to see, and I believe maybe you did see that space. I'm not really clear on what happened there. But yes, I am interested in being involved any capacity I can to help with real estate with the station.
All right, sounds great. Thank you for that. All right, so March, please get your nominations in for that. And I promised you all some feedback and some meat on the bones of the proposed goals for 2026 for this local station board. I did not do that in the interim, so I'm not going to burden you all tonight with trying to formulate some structure around those particular goals, as you probably may not remember them. But what I will do and promise to do here is make sure I get those details back to you all so you all can consider it, so that we can come to the meeting informed and make sure that we have a proper discussion. I think it would be improper to try and discuss something that, you know, we're all not kind of on the same page with at this time. So, again, we're going to postpone the goals for 2026 through March until I have some further information back to you. All right. With that, anything else on unfinished? If not, we'll move to Member Byfield. He has some new business that he'd like to discuss. All right. Hearing none, Member Byfield, you have the floor. You have new business around the grievance process. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening. Again, I would like to bring to our attention the fact that we still have not gotten any kind of implementation of the grievance process, which has been lingering for almost a decade, and 22 months ago,
this committee, this board voted and put together a process which has been dragged and neglected by our ED, I guess. After we've taken the step to simplify how to implement that, which is done by another station, it still hasn't been put into place. And this, in my opinion, jeopardizes our hard-earned efforts and donations to both WPFW and Pacifica, because it puts us in the crosshairs of a lawsuit. It is, in my opinion, negligence on our part, negligence on Pacifica's part, and a reckless abuse of our donation dollars to drag something out that important for such a long time. I don't know if we want to call it procrastination or incompetence on the part of management. And when I say management, I mean Pacifica management, because our management here, which is an interim management, has not really championed that. And I am not blaming our management here, because I understand it is a Pacifica responsibility to implement that. And since there is another station in Pacifica that already has one, and what we did was we looked at that and said, you know what, let's simplify that process. Why don't we use the very similar, we just modified it to our station, and it has not been implemented. In our last two or three meetings, we seem to overlook it, or maybe just, you know, kick the can down the road. But for every time we do that, we risk what Ron Pinchback talked about in terms of inviting another lawsuit in what that typically Pacifica usually just settles. And that's abuse. It's abuse of our money. So I would like for us to seriously take this into account as we go forward, because this should not be an issue that when we had the town hall, which was last month, I think, or in December, whenever that was, I think we were supposed to have a representative from Pacifica, which didn't happen. But that was should have been one of the frontline issues, probably the most important issues to discuss or to put on the front burner. I think that is my point.
All right. I will ask you, Member Byfield, quickly in that I know that you're challenging us to, as a group, I guess it sounds like be more vocal about what the situation is. I think most of us know, if not, it's been a process where we've had a very nice and robust document laid out that was tabled by the National Board in favor of a national document that would encompass all stations and employees, the volunteer staff, I'm guessing, that has yet to manifest. So let me challenge you, Member Byfield, then, other than banging really loudly, I think we've been down this road before, your suggestion is to do what? What are we thinking we should do?
maybe have a lawyer. Maybe, you know, and I can do that. I can have a lawyer send a letter to threaten Pacifica and WPFW. I can do that. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me hear a little bit from some of the members. We got a few folks on the stack, and maybe they can kind of give you a little bit more support on that. Member Hirsch, and then Member Tingling Clemens, in that order.
Yeah, I want to thank my friend Michael Byfield for keeping this issue front and center. I share your frustration and your righteous impatience with the inaction that we've seen. I'd like to ask the chair and by extension everybody on this LSB if we could move forward as WPFW and adopt maybe voluntary guidelines in lieu of action from national to address it at least within our purview. And maybe that might light a fire under national.
That's a good suggestion. I think you'll hear a little bit of pushback on that maybe from some of our directors. I'll defer to them. Member Tingling Clemens and then Member Pinchback in that order.
Thank you. I mean, I've heard you raise this several times, Mike, but frankly, my question is, my question is, what's the holdup? I think I just heard it in some of the discussion. But then, my next question is, what do you suggest that we do? But I kind of like the idea that Mike just put forward, because if what's needed is action from Pacifica, and they're not responding, then I think that maybe we need to do something more dramatic to get their attention, because I'm not impressed with their handling of financial situations in the past. I mean, the fact that they haven't had an audit for three years or five years, and the fact that they don't want us to have our own treasurer to keep track of our finances, and how slack they've been with our resources in the past, I don't think that they have earned the trust that they seem to be requiring us to give them. In order to get it, you have to demonstrate that you've earned it. And as far as I'm concerned, they've been really slack on the finances in the past. And so I don't understand. I don't see them being proactive and stuff, especially if they figure that we're going to go ahead and bail them out anyway. So I don't want to bail them out like that, because I don't see that as our problem. I see that as their irresponsibility. So I support the idea that Mike put forward, and I'm interested in hearing the pushback. So
you're saying there's two Michaels here, so you're talking about Member Hurst.
I'm sorry, Mike Hurst.
Okay, yeah.
Right. No, I'm sorry. I was talking about. I forgot about that.
No worry.
Sorry, guys.
We're good. All right. We finished. I'm going to go to.
Okay. Yeah, I'm done.
Thanks. You, Michelle. Member Pinchback, Member Sanders, in that order.
Okay. The issue for Pacifica and for us is that any type of grievance policy would have to be germane to the entire network. That's the issue. Now, whether we adopt one of the other stations' current policy, if that's possible, and if that's a prudent way to get this resolved, then we should do that. But if we're going to, if there's going to be a new policy, that policy has to cover all the stations, all of the volunteers, employees, of the network. And that language has to be clear. Bad language offers no protection. Unclear language doesn't offer any protection. So, going back to the ED and, identifying, our frustration with how the process is taking place, I think that would be helpful, with that understanding that, this is business that has to occur. If they're going to delay implementation of such a policy network-wise, then at least grant us the the right to initiate our own policy based on what we come up with. So that's the way I see it right now. I mean, if they're not going to initiate a policy, you know, then allow us. And that's been our argument all along, you know. But they don't want to do that because, you know, of the legalities. You know, when you start talking about employment issues, you know, you got issues. Okay, but that's the question on the table. If you're not going to decide on this, you know, and this is to the ED, if you're not going to make a decision on this, you know, it's just somewhere down the line, then say that, you know. Otherwise, you know, allow us to adopt a policy of our own, or the policy being used by one of the other stations. So that's that's how I see that.
Yeah. No. That little caveat you laid there is interesting. I'll come back to it. Member Sanders, Member Sanders, Member Lane, and then Michelle, you've spoken already, so I'm going to come back to you after Member Lane. So, Member Sanders, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What I would suggest here, or what I'm asking here, is that if something put together in writing from WPFW to go to the executive director, number one, asking her, is there a document that you would want the stations to see? And if there is such a document, then bring together members of each one of the stations to meet with her to look at that document to see if it meets what should be done for all of the stations, not just one station and everybody else gets nothing. And it's very true that anything you do for one, it should be done for everyone. And it should be a good document, not something based on favoritism. I think Tony Leon is the one who shared this with us, and he shared what one of the other stations had. So I think that we should ask that we meet with her in that manner to go through it. It's only fair that that be done to be sure everything's covered. And also, I know that this has something to do with the union, but, you know, we would talk about that part too. But I think it should be open to all. It's not just WPFW meets with her, but I think the other stations should be there as well. And you make a decision on what's going to be done or what should be done. Make some suggestions. But right now we're just sitting here waiting. And that's what I suggest we do. It's looking that nothing's being done because everybody's sitting waiting. And I know she's got other things going on, like we talked about finances, how to get ready for this upcoming election. But if we had this document to look at, to compare it against what we've got and what anyone else has, then we see what we're working with. Thank you.
All right.
Can I interject, Mr. Chair?
Join the stack, if you could. Just join the stack. Let me get Member Lane, and then I'll come back to you in order, okay? I know this is your issue, but just go ahead and join the stack. Member Lane, go ahead.
Just for some clarity, have the new bylaws really been implemented across the board?
Yes.
Or are they in the process of being implemented?
They are on the official Pacifica Foundation website as the bylaws for the network. Yes.
And the tenants of the new bylaws have already started?
Or are
implemented?
We are in what is called the transition phase of the new bylaws. Yes.
All right. And this policy has not been created universally for all the stations. Is that correct?
This was a policy that was created by our in conjunction with the local station board and the the programmers.
I'm familiar, but Pacifica has not created a universal policy on this for all the stations. Is that correct?
I have not seen anything, no.
And we are waiting for them to do that?
We were instructed that what we did was very, very well written and put together, and that they would use that in whatever the national policy is to be developed.
And what would happen if we were to adopt and implement what we already wrote?
Well, this is why I was thinking some of the directors would step up here. I don't think local station management is compelled to do anything with regards to that grievance policy that's not been instructed by the national board. That's the catch 22 you're in. There's a great grievance policy out there, but you can't compel management to do anything. This body cannot anyway.
Okay, understood. But I'm just saying in general, if we were to go ahead and adopt that policy.
Sure.
What are the potential repercussions from national? Are there any?
I don't know. I mean, directors, we've got some heavy hitters here tonight. They may be able to answer that.
What would we be subject to? A fine?
If you're asking them to sign off on it. If you're asking them to sign off on it.
No, I'm not asking them to sign off on nothing.
Okay. Okay. Well, then there's no obligation on Pacifica's part to accept it. So that's right. That's the rub, you know.
No, so they don't have to accept it.
They won't honor it.
That's right. That's fine. They don't have to honor it. I'm simply saying that we've been waiting and we've been waiting and we've been waiting. And I see unless they're going to implement a fine, unless they're going to implement a financial penalty because we adopted a policy that we already had that they are dragging their feet on.
Yeah.
And I say we go ahead and adopt it. And then when they're ready to implement a national policy, they can. And then that becomes national policy.
Why we got to wait?
Why on earth are we waiting for them to implement a national policy when they are either ill-equipped or they have the inability or whatever reason they want to give? And we've been waiting for this when it protects us right now.
Sure.
And I'm saying for us, for WPFW, we can adopt that policy. And in adopting that policy, we just tell them we adopted the policy. When they have a new one to supersede it, then they have a new one to supersede it. It's okay.
Yeah. All right. I hear you, my brother. All right, let's okay, Julie hasn't spoken yet. Go ahead, Member Hewitt, and then I'll come back to Member Tingling Clemens. Go ahead.
Yeah, so with all due respect, Ambrose, we did adopt this policy. That's not what's at issue here, right?
No.
We adopted it as an LSB a couple of years ago. Where we ran into trouble was we wanted to post it on our website. And the problem there is, and I don't remember specifically all the details around this, but it's like putting your policies, your HR policies on the web for the world to see is a bad idea. I don't remember the exact details around it, right? And that's the part that folks were trying to get that done. Does that mean that WPFW can't use this as its policy in the meantime and distribute it using the programmer's email address and send it to all the programmers and then live by it?
I'm not sure that that would be a problem, but where we ran into trouble was posting it online. And a little more rumor control for everybody else is, yes, another station had theirs posted, but the ED made them take it off of their website. So get your facts right, folks.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm just frustrated.
May I quickly
respond? And that's legitimate, Julie. I hear you. In that instance, you post on the website that we have a policy. You don't have to post the policy and say, if you want to view it, you must request it. It's as simple as that.
Well, that wasn't, it's hard because we've been at this for a little while, but that actually the request was for the grievance policy to be posted. That's fine. I think we got a little clarity here, so let's not argue about what just happened in the past. I think we're good. I think we got some clarity. So let me go to Tingling Clemens and then the Byfield in that order.
Yes. Okay, thank you. What I'm arguing for is for us to be proactive and not to sit back and wait for Pacifica, because Pacifica is either incompetent, incapable, or uninterested. And so I feel like they're perfectly willing to hang us out to dry because they've decided that our concerns aren't germane to their need for their work. And I think that that's a big problem. And I don't think that it's going to get any better by sitting back and waiting for them. It's like sitting back and waiting for the Democratic Party to stand up against genocide and think that just because they're not Trump's party, that everybody is going to support them. I think that there's so much waiting around people are willing to do. And I'm saying that I don't know about y'all, and I'm sorry I haven't been on the LSB that long, but that I've had my limit. According to you, they've had 2 years to look at this. And if they weren't so busy trying to take over the station and get rid of democracy, they might have taken some steps to try to protect this financially. But that doesn't seem to have ever been their concern, given the kind of decisions that they've made in the past. And I don't think that they're going to get any better or any faster by us sitting back and waiting on them. So I'm arguing for whatever step we decide to take, that we take a step, that we don't wait on them. And I think that we have several different scenarios out there that we can choose from.
Yeah.
And but I think that we should choose one.
Okay. Thank you. I don't want to do this to you, Member Byfield, but I do have a couple that I haven't heard from yet. So let me go to Member Hirsch and then Member Hunter, and then I'll come back to you, Member Byfield. Go ahead, Member Hirsch, quickly, 2 minutes, if you could.
Yeah, real quick. I think that maybe we should ask WPFW management if they feel comfortable implementing this grievance procedure. I don't think it needs to be on the website. And if that's the sticking point, I'm willing to mention that we have one and then have it available on request, because it seems like we're letting small things get in the way of a very important step forward. And that always frustrates me. So I'm really hoping that we can figure out a way to unlock this situation.
Member Hunter, thank you for that.
I think I'm in favor of the arguments that Brother Lane and Sister Tingling Clemens are making in this regard. And I think that if they at National have been reluctant to see our issue as being important enough to move on, but they haven't found it important enough in the last 2 years, then it's kind of like a moot point that we shouldn't consider them be ready anytime soon. So again, I think some way we should maybe even craft a motion if we've had enough discussion to see if we can get a vote on this and make it so that somehow we are identifying a proactive stance at making the grievance process live and full at PFW. And again, whatever way it might be that we have to take to, you know, insulated from being on the website. Like Ambrose said, you know, it'll be available if somebody requests it, but at least we can do internally what we know needs to be done.
Yes, I concur. One last, Member Byfield, one last bite at the apple, and I think we have something we can move forward with. Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Chair, I respect the way you've handled this because I think the people that have spoken before me have made much very, very clear points, which saves me the time of really spending a long time talking about it anymore. I am very much in favor of what Brother Lane suggested and what Brother Hunter just elucidated in terms of how we need to move forward with this. And if anyone wants to take some leadership on that, I think I have done quite a bit in terms of just keeping it alive.
Yeah, no, appreciate that. So here's what I'm hearing, and you know, the membership can consider this based on the discussion here. We've got a set of policies that remind me. I think there's a couple folks still here that were on that committee. That committee did have a programmer component to it, if not one, maybe two programmers on that committee that developed these policies that, to me, basically because it covers them, essentially, the programmers, that if they're okay with the policy and being subject to it, that management, unless they're completely opposed to it, shouldn't have any problem implementing it here locally. It sounds like to me, based on Member Hewitt's suggestion, that there really is an issue about posting a policy on a website. I think we all can climb down off of that ledge and at least have it implemented locally and distributed throughout the volunteer programming family. So my ask of you all is that what we want to do? Is that to go back to current management, letting them know that we accept the formulated grievance policy as put together in conjunction with their programmers, and that to have that distributed to the programmers as soon as possible, I guess, or you all can tell me if you want a date certain. Does anyone have something they'd like to formulate along those lines? Any motion along those lines you'd like to formulate?
I can take a stab at it. You eloquently elaborated it, but I think that the motion would be something along the lines of WPFW's prior formulated grievance process be identified that it is workable inside of WPFW and that it necessarily does not have to be posted for the world to see on the website. I'd like to make a motion that we consider that grievance process to be implementable in a way that does not cause any external entity to be able to review it unless they come through us. That's long and kind of long.
Yeah. Let me chop it up a little bit. So the WPFW Local Station Board moves that the WPFW management implement the grievance policy that was, I don't know the date, that was developed circa 2024, and that policy be
December 2024.
December, okay. So the policy developed December 2024 be implemented immediately and distributed to all current volunteer programmers, on staff or known to be on staff currently, or something like that. Is that what we want to do? We want to have the policy implemented and distributed, is what I'm trying to get at. to all of our volunteer staff? Is that what we want to do? I'm going to ask Member Byfield, since this is his issue we brought up today.
Yes.
You want to help me out, Member Lane? Go ahead. Yeah, I think I'm struggling. What do you got?
Yes, I would just add a friendly amendment. All of that wording is fine, but I would also add that we announce that on our website and that it is available upon request. In other words, announce that we have one, but that it is available upon request.
Let me push back just a little bit. Do we want to dip our toe back in the website business? That's all I'm asking.
Well, the problem is that it has to become public. That's the problem. So we have to at least announce that we have it, and if anyone wants to see it, it is available upon request. I mean, to be honest,
when you say anybody, what do you mean though? What do you mean?
It becomes a public document. We are a 501c3. Anyone can ask for our board minutes and everything else. They can ask for our 501c3 document. Any member of the public can do that, but they have to do it upon request. We don't have to post them. And this is the same.
I'm not saying I disagree. I don't know that to be 100% true. But if that's the case, you're saying that a member, okay, now when you say anybody, a member can request these things, Joe Schmo off the street, right?
No,
a member.
No. These are the rules of a 501c3.
Okay.
Any member of the public can ask a 501c3 for their meeting board minutes at any time. A 501c3 is obligated to provide them to the person requesting it. They don't have to post them automatically, but if anyone asks for them, you better have them.
Okay.
And this is the same. This is a public document that is policy. And so we can announce that we have it, but we don't have to show it.
Yeah, but so your friendly amendment is that we implement the grievance policy, that it be distributed, the policy in full to all volunteer programmers, and posted as a official document that can be issued upon request. Is that what you're saying?
No, posted as an announcement, not the document itself. Posted as an announcement on the website. So the website would say something like, we have adopted a policy on grievance available upon request. That's all you have to say. You have to say nothing more.
Okay. All right. I see a couple of hands. The motion on the floor is... Gosh, Ellen, help me out. What do we say?
Okay. I move that we go to management of WPFW regarding the 2024 policy to be grievance process to be implemented immediately and distributed to all volunteers, staff, programmers, and then the friendly amendment would add to it that it would be available on the website. And if I could just add in about the whole website situation.
No, that's not what it is. I'm sorry, Ellen.
Okay, go ahead.
Available on request.
What about the website?
Yes. Yeah, the only thing that is on the website is that it exists and that it is available upon request. That's all.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Can I just say this?
What do you have? Go ahead, Ellen, quickly. Yeah.
Okay. But isn't it that I thought the whole thing with it not going on the website yet is because
it had to go through the ED, and then she was going, okay, and let management know that it could be placed on, well.
Yeah. No, I did too. I know what you're saying. I think we got a little bit of clarity from Member Hewitt earlier that maybe the sticking point is the website, but or posting policy on the website itself. So I think we're trying to square the circle here on that. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying. All right. Member Kiyasi, Member Hirsch, quickly, as a you for or against? I'm sorry. The motion on the floor is you've heard the motion from Ellen. Is there a second for that motion?
Let's see. Am I muted?
It's been seconded by Michelle.
Michelle did that? Okay, I didn't hear. Okay. All right. Discussion. Member Kiyasi, you got it.
Yeah, I have another friendly amendment.
Okay, go ahead.
That we direct the Pacifica board members from WPFW to present the grievance procedure to the Pacifica board.
Okay. All right, hold on. Let's back up. So I hear you on that. Hold that thought. So is anybody, we have a friendly amendment. So there's a motion. We have a friendly amendment from Member Lane. Is there a second for that friendly amendment?
Second.
Okay. So that requires now that management state that there's now a grievance policy and that it is available upon request. Everyone understands that friendly amendment?
Yes.
Any opposition? All right. Hearing none. So now our motion reads that the grievance policy be distributed and that a information on the website indicating there is now one and it be indicated that it's available upon request. Kiyasi, Member Kiyasi, you got something. What's your friendly amendment?
No, my friendly amendment is that the Pacifica board members who are from PFW present the grievance procedure to the Pacifica board.
So the amendment now, or the motion now, would read that the grievance policy be distributed to all volunteer programmers immediately, that a notice be put on the website for indicating that it's available for distribution, and that the WPFW directors present the grievance policy to the national board. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
Any opposition to Member Kiyasi's friendly amendment?
Yeah, I'd like to divide those questions.
I'm sorry. Is there a second to it? I guess is what I'm asking. Really, not an opposition. Is there a second to his amendment?
I'm in opposition to it.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear a second though. Nobody seconded. We don't have to do anything with it. Anybody seconding that amendment? Okay. All right. So we, right. That goes away. All right. Who's up? Let me see. Wow, I got a lot of hands. All right. So we're good on where we're at right now. Any discussion? So go ahead, Member Hirsch. Now we're at time certain almost, I think. So we're going to need to extend if you want to finish this up.
Yeah, I dropped some language into the chat that I think is a little bit tighter than what we've been talking about. And I'm asking if maybe we can work from that language.
We're at time certain right now, but we need to extend.
Move for 10 more minutes.
Any opposition to extending for 10 minutes?
No, that's fine.
All right. Hearing none, we'll go 10 more minutes. All right. Where's your language?
I dropped the language in the chat. I can read it if you want.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Okay. We move that the WPFW LSB formally request the WPFW management to adopt and implement the grievance policy voted on and passed by the LSB in December 2024 immediately and proactively communicate the policy to all volunteer staff. Also, to announce the policy exists and provide the policy to members of the public upon request.
Beautiful. Everybody hear that? That's where we're at, okay? Any discussion? I see a couple hands. Member Tingley Clemens, are you good?
I'm good. I'm sorry. Is my hand still up?
It is. Member Byfield. No, he's gone.
Yes. No.
You good?
This time.
Hold on. You're gonna argue for or against? We're kind of in the middle of dealing with the motion, so I don't want you to go into it.
I am for 95% of the motion, with the exception of notification of the board. Why should we? The ED already has it.
Okay. Okay.
That's fair. 10 years.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Point of order, that provision failed for lack of a second.
Yes, that part of it failed. Yes, that's correct. That didn't get seconded. So, all right, you're good.
Oh, okay. Then I'm in agreement to the remainder of it. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, all right. I got four more. So I think, remember, Hirsch, you're all set. Are you good? Did you want to argue? Okay.
I'm good.
Member Lane, did you have a discussion?
Just one thing, and that is that I do think that Member Kiyasi's motion has merit. I just would not have supported it as a friendly amendment. I do think that we need to present it to Pacifica National, but I think that should happen after management adopts the policy.
Got it.
Otherwise, I think his motion is good as a separate motion.
Got it. Member McLean. Geez, sorry. Getting late.
Very good. I agree with the motion except for I wanted to flag Shana's comment actually in the comments, which is that if it's a 501c3, it doesn't mean that we're necessarily required to display internal documents or HR documents. I haven't done the research myself, but I do want to take that into consideration, because if we do put something on the website, it kind of stirs up the pot. My only concern is if we say available upon request and we can't give that to absolutely anyone, then it becomes misleading information. So I think we need to clarify that before we say that it there's a public announcement about it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't know personally about that. Member Lane says he's had its expertise or experience in this area, so I mean, we have to tread lightly here. I do agree with that. Go ahead, Member Hewitt. I totally agree with that. Member Hewitt, you have the floor.
Yeah, I just wanted to pick up on what Mariah just said and say, I think who we should give it to is not any member of the public who asked for it, but any staff or volunteer who asked for it. They're the audience. The public is not the audience. This is an internal HR document. I think, you know, where we're going to get in trouble is if we share it with any member of the public and then they figure out a way to sue us over something, right? Because we didn't follow our policy, because let's be honest, we're not always great at following our own, you know, policy. So I want to make sure that this isn't a trap for us, right? I totally believe in the grievance policy. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think members of the public need to see it.
Yeah.
The same way they don't need to see a lot of other stuff.
Yeah. All right. It sounds like we have a little concern on that area. I'll be honest. I don't have expertise here, so I have to defer to those that do. Member Lane, I'll give you one last shot at it, and then we're going to go to a vote, sounds like.
Yeah, there are very few documents that are not public when it comes to a 501c3. And an internal, if you consider an HR document an internal document, The only things that are not available to be made to the public would be things like an evaluation of an employee or issues like that. But your budget, your bylaws, other internal documents upon request from any member of the public. And to be honest with you, a volunteer is a member of the public. Let me be clear. They are not an employee. So if you're distributing it to a volunteer who is a member of the public, you are already putting yourself in jeopardy by not allowing it to be distributed to any other member of the public who is not a volunteer but requests that document. I've established three nonprofits.
All right. Before I open this up for the vote, I'm hearing jeopardy on both sides. Some are saying you're putting yourself in jeopardy by releasing it. Others saying by not releasing it, you're in jeopardy. But this, can we don't have to agree on this. I mean, we can just vote on the motion as is, up or down. But I think we need to really understand the legal implications here without trying to you know, put the cart before the horse. You know, we gotta be firm on that. I'm gonna ask Ellen to call a roll on the motion, and we can vote it up or down, but as is, and go from there. So I won't color anybody's opinion any further. But Ellen, let's call the roll and the motion as read. Remember Hirsch, you read that so well. Could you give it to us again?
Yeah, if you could read that again. And then if you could send it to me.
Yeah.
I will definitely do that, Ellen.
Thank you.
Okay. We move that the WPFW OSB formally requests the WPFW management to adapt and implement the grievance policy voted on and passed by the LSB in December 2024 immediately, and proactively communicate the policy to all volunteer staff, also to announce the policy exists and provide the policy to members of the public upon request.
A yes vote implements the motion as read. A no vote does not. Everybody understand that? Do we need clarification again? All right, sounds like everybody's on board. So, Ellen, go ahead and call the roll and give me a second. Let me get my.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Berna?
No.
No. Michael Byfield.
Yes.
Michelle.
Yes.
Violetta. Violetta.
Yes.
Wanda.
No.
Sue. Sue?
Can I abstain? Because I still don't understand the legal implications.
Of course. You have three choices.
Okay.
What are you doing, though? Sue?
Yes?
What are you doing?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Thank you.
And did Robert come? Is Robert here?
No. He's not present.
He's not present? Okay. Mm-hmm. Michael Hirsch?
I vote yes.
Julie?
Pass.
Okay. Jahara?
Yes.
Arthur Highland?
I don't know.
David?
Yeah, I agree with the concerns that Julie Hewitt came up with. I'll abstain.
Okay.
Ambrose?
Yes.
Mariah?
Abstain. I think there needs to be more research.
Ron Pinchback? Ron? Is he still there?
I'm going to abstain also because of the legal uncertainties.
Okay. Jeanette? Jeanette, is she still there?
Yeah, she's muted. She's coming up. Hold on.
Sorry, I'm abstaining also. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Minerva?
I'm abstaining.
Okay. All right, so we have the no's.
No. Go back. You got some people you missed.
Oh, who did I miss?
Somebody passed. I can't remember who. I think it was Member Hewitt. Somebody passed.
Somebody did pass.
Is it Vincent?
It was Julie
is it
Hewitt.
Vincent
she
of
passed.
All members?
I'm
Julie
here.
Julie passed.
Yeah, Bill Curtis is here.
Oh. Bill is here. Hold on. Hold on, everybody.
Bill, yes or no?
Hold on, Ellen. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
Bill, have you heard the entire discussion? Just don't want you to jump in.
Yeah, it was about 40 minutes as the meeting was going on. I sent Ellen at least I think I did it correctly.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, call Curtis, go ahead.
Yes or no?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay.
What about Member Hunter?
Hold on. Let Ellen handle it. Let Ellen handle it.
I said yes.
He said yes.
Yeah.
I don't think the only person that I don't have is Kamau.
No. You had Member Hewitt pass.
Yeah, I have her pass. I'm saying that
you got to go back and get her vote, is what I'm telling you.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I passed. I didn't abstain.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to vote no.
Okay. Okie dokie. So now that's everybody, except for Kamau, right?
Yeah.
Does a new member get to vote? Does a new member Latrice get to vote?
The new member?
Oh.
I don't have her on there.
Yep. She can vote. She's a voting member.
All right. So I'll put her on. What is your vote?
My vote is no, due to the lack of full information.
Okay, so she's no?
Confidence in the information.
Okay. So Latrice is no. So I'll do the no's first. So 1, 2, 3 no's. With her, that's 4 no's. Let me see again to make sure. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 no's. Okay. Yeses. 1, 2, 3, 4 yeses. Wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 yeses. And abstentions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 abstentions. So the yeses. 6 yeses. 5 no's and 7 abstentions.
Righty. All right, the yeses have it.
Yeses.
So the motion will carry. So implementation, we'll send a note to station management. I see our interim general manager is here. So Ellen, you can put me down.
Yeah, you're going to, okay.
As a so, no.
A no? Okay. Yep. So that's a six, so that's a tie.
Is that a tie?
Yes.
Sounds good. That's about right. All right. Get a push. All right, we can pick this up next month. But the motion does fail. All right.
Okay.
Let's move to
can I ask a question?
Who's this? Vincent. Yes. Member Vincent, go ahead.
Just for my clarification, understanding, is there a reason why the vote was put forward without clear information? I mean, could it have waited? I'm just wanting to know how the process works.
Yeah. Of course, more information was probably needed. But motion can go forward, you know, based on what the body wants and determines. So if enough people feel like there's enough information to move forward, then, you know, we vote on it. It's not something that, I mean, obviously the chair has discretion on a lot of things. I'm not one to just be tabling the will of the body, but you, or, you know, kind of shutting down the will of the body. But, yeah, you, sometimes we do make decisions on limited information. This one I think is a little bit more serious, just in my personal opinion. So I think, you know, we probably needed some more intel, or some more clarity on what we were doing just in terms of the distribution of documents like that. So, but yeah, it can happen, I guess, is if what you're asking me. It can happen.
And so how would this proceed theoretically? I mean, would a consultant, someone consult a legal counsel on this matter to clarify for us so we can make an informed vote, a fully informed vote?
Yes, I would recommend that. Yes, and I think there's enough info out there in the public space that you wouldn't need an attorney, that you could find, you know, one way or the other, if this kind of information is something that typically is just shared in the public space.
Even free legal resources online.
I'm sure there are. And I think it, you know, I think that this is what the rub has been with the national board in terms of posting the information already. I think their argument has been that this is an incorrect way to proceed. So I think that's why I asked, you know, do we want to dip our toes back into the website thing? But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
All right.
Mr. Chair.
Member Pinchback, you got it. Go ahead.
Would it be improper or too late to put forth a motion seeking an audience with Pacifica Legal?
I think they've made their claim already. I could be wrong. I mean, you're up there. You tell me. I mean, what was the?
I've never heard anything, you know, definitive from Pacifica Legal. I've heard stuff, you know, coming from Stephanie.
Okay.
But, you know, but nothing from nothing from Pacifica Legal has come to us. And that's the hold up right now.
Yeah. If you're asking me, yes. I think that if they're willing to give us you know, what the right or wrong you know, processes, then sure. Yes. Yep. I think we should.
So is it too late to put forth a motion with requesting that?
Yes, I think it's too late for the motion, but I do, again, you know, I'm hoping that in this discussion, our directors have enough ammunition to make the query and just see what is what. I mean, I don't know. I think we have enough information to actually ask directly of our national board or of legal counsel, I would think. Well, the executive director. Tell the executive director to ask. We had this discussion. She can listen to the recording and say, hey, look, which way is it? Do we have the ability to post this and give it out and distribute it to anybody? Or is this proprietary stuff that we are not supposed to be giving out? Because it sounded like folks were arguing that both ways could be detrimental to the organization. You know what I mean? So which way is it? And I think we have to be firm about which way it is correctly supposed to be handled.
No, so. I have a correction, Kamal.
Yes.
So the IRS made a change a little more than a decade ago. Internal documents like HR documents are no longer required to be given to the public, but there are still other IRS documents that do have to be given to the public upon request. I just went to the IRS website and researched it myself. So internal documents like HR documents do not have to be given to the public upon request, but your IRS documents, your filing 990s, all of those have to be given to the public upon request. So okay. I hope that helps this discussion.
It's 10:25, so we're going to go ahead. I think we're informed about what we can do. I think in the March meeting, someone should bring a motion to the floor excluding the posting on the website and distributing to others, and we could very well make this this thing happen internally.
I don't think we're going to.
Well, I've got that language in the chat.
We've got it teed up, Michael, so we can go right into.
Yeah, no. I see where our votes is. That I don't. That we've been doing this since 2017 and since 2024. Everything that we're talking about right now, a lot of people have talked about. And it comes down to we're willing to jeopardize another lawsuit.
All right.
We're willing to do that.
Hold on.
So we're rolling the dice.
Hold on.
That's what we're doing.
But in all fairness, Michael, I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to let our membership go here in a second, but we also
in all fairness, we voted on it tonight.
But we also could have potentially put our organization in jeopardy as well by demanding one way or the other a particular action. So all of this is kind of tied up into the same should we or should we not. So I hear you. I totally agree with you, and that's why we still are here discussing this. But we can't just then say F it to another action that may jeopardize the organization as well. So we're kind of in a rock and a hard place, and I think we've ironed out now. Thank you, Member Lane, for looking that up and taking it upon yourself and taking that hit. You know, that's a stand-up brother right there, understanding that, you know, what he had in terms of information wasn't necessarily as up-to-date. So I appreciate him on that. And we can go back now and properly address this at our March meeting. I think that's where we are, man. I think we're right here. I understand your frustration, but 30 days.
Yeah, but my frustration is another organization had it for 17 years and no one sued them. How about that?
I know.
Kamal?
Yeah.
I have one more time,
and we can. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm requesting that on our next meeting you put on the agenda, the approval of the programming feedback form. Because we weren't able to have a quorum, for our programming meeting. And so that thing has still not been approved.
Well, so wait a second, David, what we did is we said if anybody had any objections to it, they should object to it. And I'm here to report that nobody did. So that's our approval.
But the thing is, though, we didn't have a quorum.
Right.
Okay, so hold on. You all are talking about your programming meeting, right? Or are you talking about this meeting?
That was the programming meeting, yeah.
All right. He wants to put it on the agenda for next month. I have no problem doing that. We'll add
second it.
Yeah, no problem. All right.
Okay, great.
All hearts and minds clear. Anything else?
Well, I've got a version that I'm pretty sure would pass, and we can bring that up at the March meeting. I can send it to Ellen. She can send it around. It's basically the same as the one that just failed.
Yeah.
But instead of saying the general public, it says the WPFW community.
Okay. Hold that. Make sure it gets to Ellen, and then we can, like I said, we can deal with this on the 18th. Anything else? Thank you, Mike, for taking the lead on that. Anything else? All right. We good? Motion to adjourn, anybody?
Motion.
Any opposition? Thank you all. See you in a little bit. Appreciate it. Enjoy your weekends. Thanks. Welcome. Good night. I'm Latrice Vincent.
Good night,
welcome,
everyone.
Latrice.
Welcome, Latrice.
Welcome, Latrice.
Welcome, Latrice. Welcome, welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Long regards, everybody.
We'll see.